This is a return to our digital broadcasting duties. We couldn't record last week. Actually, we saw the number 76 and decided we'd tank the week. A few other obligations, and Ben was a little under the weather too. But you're feeling better, Ben. That's Arcane, of course, I'm talking about. You're feeling better this week?
Yeah, it wasn't so much like sick. It was just I just felt like they're on fire.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I spent some about 4 or so hours in hospital, and then I came.
Which is always fun.
Oh, yeah, yeah. It's awesome fun. And
how many of those 4 hours were just waiting?
About 3 of them, and the
3 hours, 55 minutes. Yeah.
It was the fluoro lights in the waiting room that weren't helping. That was...
No.
It was like adding acid to the fire. So lucky enough, I was actually able to get a blanket to cover my head, but I kind of looked like a retarded ghost or something like that, with no eyes. And...
I'll see it.
Okay.
It counts.
So
that's unfortunate, but you are back to feeling a bit better and back with us this week to record. And of course, John Jasming, who was not sick, but... remembered a rather important date that happened to fall. And
like I said, I remember the date. It just never it just never like lined up that, hey, this is a Wednesday.
Yeah.
Honey, can I go talk to some Australians for a couple hours on your birthday? What do you think? Okay.
Have fun. Did you talk in an Australian accent all last week, like you promised?
Oh, I did the... she was cutting up a watermelon for my daughter. So I just walked up to her with a plastic spoon, and I said, "That's not a knife, this is a knife."
Yeah.
She looked at me, and she was like, "The hell's wrong with you?"
You've been talking to the Australians again?
No, she doesn't know The Simpsons. So I spent a lot of time going on YouTube, and because, you know, you can't put Simpsons stuff on YouTube, and trying to find the clip of the Australian episode with, you know, "That's not a knife, this is a knife." And I showed it to her, and she just, like, stone-faced me throughout all of it. She's like, "Oh, that's funny to you?" I was like, "This is my childhood!"
So when the girls get old enough, they are watching The Simpsons. It just we are raising them properly. But
as sad as it is, you know, we do get FXX, and they're doing that marathon in the summer. So I'm going to sit both girls down. We're going to watch 12 days straight of nothing but Simpsons. Back to back to back to back. "Daddy, I want to sleep." "No."
Sleep in 12 days, damn it.
We'll start sleeping after the 10th season.
Well, see, the other great thing is, you know, you show them Homer, and no matter what you do for the rest of their lives, you'll always look like the best dad ever. Yes. I mean, it just...
Daddy wins.
Good times, but we do have a few things to talk about this evening, or this morning in your case, John. We are back. We missed last week, as I said. Going to catch up on a few things, of course. The first thing, just wanted to mention a couple of some housekeeping issues for the site. The first thing is some new content we have coming up. For those who are unaware, we have a story thread section in the NLSC forum, where if you do a dynasty or a association, my career, whatever, if you are playing through that and also running a story thread where you're also, you know, I guess, presenting it like it's real. I don't know. But basically,
it's doing real some to me, creative damn it. Writing.
Yeah, that's right. But if you're doing some creative writing and presenting it with news articles and whatnot, but a lot of creative stuff going on there, but going to do some interviews with some of the people in the community that have made some of the really good threads that we've all, that many of us enjoyed over the years, including Kenny, also known as Bad Religion AU, Lamrock, and Axel, and so forth. So just look out for that coming up. I've got a few of the questionnaires back from those guys, so you can check that out of the next week or so. And, of course, the return of the NLSC Top 10 Plays of the Week. Ben, you handed the reins over to Leon, and I don't want to take away from the job that you did for the first 6 weeks of the countdown, Ben, but I think it's safe to say Leon's done a really good job since taking over.
Yeah.
I mean, he's got the background in, of course, graphic design and flash animation and everything, and he's... really gone above and beyond in doing the stuff in the last couple of weeks, and people are putting in the plays again. We've had a couple of additions, and yeah, they're really great to get that back up and running again.
I just had a sense of like deja vu that like this was like another eulogy from like my first episode.
No, around about the same time of the
it's
year.
It's like yeah, it's like a throwback episode.
But yeah, they're back, and if you want to check out the top tens, of course, you can click on the features of the features menu on the main site, go down to top 10 plays of the week, and of course the thread is in the virtual hardwood section of the forum. John, you've had multiple number ones. In the countdown?
In the past, that was under Ben.
Yeah,
I haven't tested Leon's allegiance yet.
Well, you know, Pete Dub got top play last week with the NBA Live 14 video. So
yeah, I think I need to resubmit my off the glass, but I already got a top play for that. So
yeah,
it was off the glass and it was a buzzer beater. That was the best play. EA Sports NBA Twitter, you couldn't give me a retweet for that. Really?
Tweet it again. Seriously?
This guy. Well,
well, at least now it's... with Share Factory, you'll be able to have a HD version of it. Or a
version of
it. And you can even edit some text in it and, you know, say, where's my retweet? And you can have a sound loop commentary of it saying, like, when when Bart is demanding his elephant. And you know, hearing him in the
they're playing the retweet song.
Yeah, I love that song. Reminds me of retweets.
But so top 10's back in action. If you've got any submissions, be sure to post them as much as you like in that sticky thread in the virtual hardwood section of the NLSC forum. And as been alluded to, of course, the PlayStation 4 has just received another software update and also released Share Factory for video editing, and we can actually very easily take our videos off the PS4 and put them on a USB stick and transfer them to the PC or laptop, whatever. And I like that a lot more, guys. Yep. Yeah, instead of having to go through Facebook uploads, which reduces the quality a little bit. I was trying to be kind. you haven't seen who's sponsoring the episode this week yet.
I was going to throw a segue to, well, now you can get an idea of what my visual look, what my eyes are going through at the moment.
Well, I mean, you can still upload to Facebook if you wish, but yeah, much better sharing options. I did give it a go before we started recording. Found it pretty easy and nifty. John, you had a bit more struggles. Your PS4 did not want to talk to your USB device.
Yeah, during the pregame, if you will, of this. Pretty much just me saying very naughty words to my PS4. Evidently, if you have a very large USB stick, it takes a little bit for it to, you know, say, hey, you know, you can use this if you want to. So, it ended up working, and I ended up getting my glorious 720p video capture. They need to make that 1080.
They probably will in about a year. I think it's, you know, while developers are sort of getting more familiar with getting the console to run at 1080p 60 frames per second, so that little early learning cycle, and then probably once they get more familiar and find ways to make it more efficient in using hardware specs, they might be able to bump it up. So yeah,
it's definitely better than nothing. But I might just pick up an Elgato now, so or whatever those are called, the HDMI capture devices.
Yep.
But very cool for the PS4 has added that, and I'm sure we'll see a lot of people making mixes and whatnot with that technology. And if we can dump on Xbox again, as we've done so often, they don't have anything like this, do they?
They do. They have that upload, it's called upload or some crap like that.
No,
it's,
I mean to USB copying. Have they added that functionality yet?
Not sure. Probably. I know they're still waiting to be able to add external hard drive support. I think that patch is coming soon. Mm-hmm. It may be out. I don't know. It's not like I keep up with. I only keep up with the bad news with Xbox One. Just a loss.
Spoken like a true Sony fan.
And me just being an a-hole. Yeah.
I was going to say, I was like, I'm not confident enough in that to say anything.
Well, the important thing is we've got it on PS4. So for those of us on the PS4, which according to a recent poll on the NLSC, which I forgot to update for a couple of months, so we got a lot of responses to it. But for those people who aren't sticking with the master race of the PC, most of us who've got a next-gen console this time are on PS4. So that certainly...
Yeah, or even just go by the NPD sales figures from...
Well,
March.
Yeah, we're kind of a microcosm of the whole world response to the PS4 in that respect. A lot of the world's on PS4, but nevertheless, that's there. And pretty cool. Just hit that the options button in the capture gallery, and you can even transfer multiple at a time, multiple screenshots or videos. So, good job, Sony. Good basic functionality. Thanks for adding that. Cool. We can... don't have to deal with Facebook impression anymore.
Yay.
Yay. At the very least for screenshots, you know?
Even on Facebook screenshots, it's like resizing an image in older versions of MS Paint. It was just... it was literally just ass.
And I think it's just the worst...
Super Nintendo graphics.
Super Nintendo graphics. I'm sorry.
Sorry, go on, John.
Oh, no, it was just... There was a screenshot contest going on in NeoGAF for Second Son's photo mode and everything, and people were like, how do you get such high-quality pictures? The workaround before the USB export was to create a second account and log into that second account on your mobile device. And then you send the picture as a message to that second account, and then on the mobile device, download the screenshot and then post it. And that's how you get the uncompressed Facebook one.
Ah.
More complicated, I suppose.
I'd rather take the USB export.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I was thinking of using the USB export, but now that I've heard that, that sounds really cool. No, I think I might stick with USB myself. But speaking of official patches, especially ones that relate to our community, there was a surprising announcement during one of the recent live streams featuring Ronnie2k and LD2k that there's going to be a fifth official patch and shoe update for the next-gen version of NBA 2K14. And there was a tweet and Facebook post yesterday that reiterated that and said that it's actually now awaiting approval. I almost said reproval. awaiting approval. Giving a date of, or rather approximated...
10 to 14 days.
10 to 14 days to be approved. I think the last one came through a little bit quicker than that, but that's a fairly conservative estimate. I mean, it's out of their hands. It's up to Sony and Microsoft now. No patch notes, guys.
Surprise.
Really. But,
wow.
But I mean, I was going to say, I mean, that's obviously is going to address various issues that people have been complaining about, hopefully. But, I mean, why do you think that they don't actually bother to say... Because wouldn't that get people more hyped to say, you know, we're fixing this problem that you really have been bugging us to? Because people say, oh, fantastic. But now it's, oh, yeah, we're going to fix things. You know, I...
They're probably at the stage where it's
Here's a 5 gigabyte patch just because F you.
Yeah.
Yeah. And just so you could shut the hell up and just...
You know what?
Owning my Twitter feed with
not saying what the patch notes are makes me concerned that they're going to take features away.
Blacktop. Patched out. It's left those last middle finger to you. I left those.
Someone else is really mad that got them to buy trials. But I'm really concerned that maybe they took out the ability to have custom rosters in MyGM, or if you do a custom roster for MyGM, that they completely nerf the VC earnings just for that, just because of the exploit where you download
VC
a specific roster.
Enough?
Oh God! And I still
they're giving out those locker codes. That are
no,
gonna
don't
be
do this. Don't. 250 piece frickin' C. Leftos hacks.
Wage crit.
Oh my.
And by the way, this VC cannot be used in blacktop mode.
We'd like to thank our new sponsors for the NLC podcast.
I mean, if it gets to that stage, you've got to think, well, this really is targeted at John. I mean, it's just... someone is doing something, but it's just... but yeah, it's you do wonder what they're going to fix and whether it's going to be some quiet stuff under the hood, nerfing the VC as apparently has already happened.
Rather just fix it. Just fix the damn thing.
I'm guessing that's really not going to happen until 2K15. But
but they've had 2 years to work on it. It's so pathetic. I'm sorry. I think it's pathetic because, like I said, it's affected my experience negatively. Where I won the championship and I didn't get crap for it. Hey, this is the my GM I've been working on and off on, and I just won the championship, and now let's roll in that VC nothings.
It could be worse. They could have subtracted VC.
Oh, God.
The championship parade costs this much VC.
to meet President Obama.
Well, there's security guards to pay for. And
To avoid a cavity search, you need to pay this much VC.
Oh, God. Jump the line, get a personal photo with Obama, you know, just extra 5,000 VC or something. We should stop giving them ideas, really. Yeah. But
to escape the security guard for hitting on Michelle Obama.
But I mean, is there thinking, guys, of 2K14? You guys have been playing a bit more than I have recently. What issues? Are there any lingering issues that you think they could fix that they should fix in this patch? I mean, what would you, if you could pick just a couple of things to correct? What would they be?
I'll let John go first.
I'll be a realist about this. Being this late in the season, this is the latest non-PC patch they've put out. And there's at this point, it's like there's no real reason for them to be putting out a patch unless they had stuff broken. The only thing really broken in the game, as far as I know, is VC. They fixed all the other major issues. So I see this being nothing more as a way to fix VC for the exploits in MyGM. Maybe fix the rewards in MyGM or fix earnings, and I see it being a VC tweaking across all the modes. And maybe, God, what else could they fix? Like, there's things that they could fix. I mean, they should really just put a link on the main page right to the park, so I don't have to first load up my career and then load up, the park from there.
The menu issues are well documented.
Yeah.
2K for the next gen.
It's just weird, but Ben, what do you think?
Okay. In terms of simple things, for me, the X button passing, that's obviously on PlayStation consoles and that. I think the logic and the AI behind it could be improved. Just too many times, ball goes to the wrong direction, and you obviously have... And a lot of times, especially when you see a teammate cutting to the basket or even a backdoor play and all that stuff, and the ball does not go to them, even though you think that'd be the smartest pass play, just using the simple X button. And for me, why I complain about the X button thing is it's a test on seeing how smart and intelligent the game's AI and logic is. That's why I use it. I want to see what it thinks, what play it thinks I'm trying to do, and how it reacts to it. Hopefully, another thing that they fix is that psychic defense, like where it predicts automatically where you're going to go, or because it reads the input, like the direction that you trigger.
Button reading.
Yeah, exactly. And even moments like I've been noticing, like the last few weeks, like I've started playing it up again, playing the game again, like the last 2 weeks or something like that, and just sort of really noticed that. Even when you're just using the directional pads and you're coming down the from the backcourt into the half court, and that when you're trying to set up an offensive play, and the moment you move your joystick to go in a certain direction, CPU's already figured out which way you're going to go, and it's with you at the exact same moment. It's like, really? So hopefully, it's the small little AI quirks that probably annoy me, and I know that I hope they fix. It'd be good if they did something with VC, but I doubt it. I think that's just too much coding.
Really?
Yeah, I don't think they'll do too much to it. I think it's just purely a time factor. And
See, I mean, I'm with John. I think that's more likely. I don't think they're going to do anything necessarily positive, like reduce the costs of VC in my team or something, you know, like make it fairer. Which really they should be adjusting that a little bit. If they're going to nerf everything else, you might as well make that a little bit fairer.
The way you said this is freaking great. They're not going to do anything positive, like make it good.
Or where it actually freaking works.
They're not going to rebalance it so much. If anything, like you said, John, they're going to patch out some exploits. Which, you know, I can see why they want to do that and to say, okay, you know, play the game properly, you lazy bastards. But, but yeah, I don't. If they do anything, maybe a few minor AI tweaks, if they've found something that, oh, we can tweak this a little bit. If they do, the teammate defensive AI would be really good, where they, so that they don't have teammates run out of the way and let the CPU just run straight to the hoop. That would be really nice.
Yeah, the smarter teammates in if game they modes could, and that where just where they haven't dropped the 50 or even 100 IQ points would be nice.
If there's anything that, I mean, adjustments they can make to that, I'm not sure. I also think it's going to be, if anything, exploits. Maybe some online connectivity issues, which is nice if you play online, I suppose.
I reckon it's just going to be sort of my GM and my team fixes. I don't really think there's going to be anything in particular for my career and all that stuff that they're going to fix. Sure. I don't think they're focusing on. Yeah, I don't think they'll be focusing on it. I think it's.
Yeah. Well, most importantly, there's also going to be a shoe update, which, as we know.
Well,
is paramount. Yeah,
well,
the shoes. It's got to be the shoes.
The last gen consoles, like the PS3 and 360, did get one early this year, whereas the PS4 and Xbox One didn't. So maybe there was enough bitching, not by me, but by others that are like me.
they got my 100 tweets a day.
Yeah, finally.
6,000 tweets, all of them about shoes in NBA 2K.
Yeah. You know, finally, I was going to continue on that kind of joke and not really what I was going to say, but yeah, maybe they're just going to equal to what they did with the current last-gen console version. So yeah, that's probably where they're going with that.
I guess we'll find out in 10 to 14 days.
And I expect, like, if they add the Jordan 29, that it'll cost 10,000 VC, like the flyweight, like the Wade shoes, like Wade Linning shoes.
Yeah.
the way you say it just makes it quite as cussish.
We'll see what happens. We'll see what they what actual patch notes come out when it comes out but there's a laundry list of fixes or whatnot, we'll see. In the meantime, moving to the other version of NBA 2K14, one that doesn't have VC. John, you wanted to talk a little about the NBA Jam mod that Big Hort and you've contributed to it, of course, as well. Up to 40 teams, if I remember correctly.
It is. Damn. Yeah, so I don't think we even talked about this last podcast 2 weeks ago.
I think actually he was in the. He just announced it. We had breaking news on our pre-recorded podcast.
We named it during the podcast. That's right.
We did too. Yes,
40 teams in 2 weeks.
Mm.
This guy's an animal. Yeah. I mean, and he's going detailed with it too.
He's on fire.
he's changing the ratings up. He's changing the tendencies up. He's recreating all of these uniforms, and they're all cartoonified, if you will. Where they.
Well,
the lines on the shorts are huge, the logos are bigger, numbers are bigger, and all that fun stuff.
It's a good look for the mod.
Every team's got wearing the 90s short shorts. He recently started doing dunk packages where he would just do basic, you know, just uber athletic or just, you know, regular athletic or big guy athletic, and giving them, you know, applying them as needed to all the players so that there's some actually very, very dunks in there. 40 teams. And he's got some real good ones too. And he's just barely starting to get to some of the modern teams. I'm going to have to actually load up the list to call it out. But I can't find the thread, mate. Crap.
Use the search function.
I just did. So, I mean, he's got like two Celtics teams in there, early 2000s, and the championship team. Thank you. a bunch of 90s teams.
96 Bulls.
Got a couple of dream teams in there. Yao Ming on the Rockets. VC and T-Mac on the Raptors, championship Pistons team, 97 Pistons, Reggie Miller on the Pacers, a couple of Nuggets teams. You got the, I think he put him in. Yeah, 09 Washington Wizards. Figuring out which, he's messaging me on Skype, on Steam, and it's like just trying to figure out different teams that'd be cool to put on. And it's like, oh, well, this is the year that Gilbert Arenas only played two games because of the whole gun thing. Yeah, screw it, just put him in anyway. It's still fun. So, been having an absolute blast with him. Figuring out which teams, and it's funny that he's actually asking me of all freaking people to ask for opinions on teams and stuff. But it's coming out absolutely fantastic and great. It's just a blast, and I don't want to say anything if it's not going to happen. But hey, you know, we talked about this on the last podcast that ended up happening. Arios is a commentator on YouTube, and he's got like a real, like, kind of like broadcaster voice, and he's been doing his own little My GM and stuff, and park videos, and it's really good. He does it kind of like in the style of the Daily Zap recap things.
Oh, yes,
and
yes.
I sent him a raw gameplay video of the NBA Jam mod. I was just kind of like, here, have fun with this. Get some Boom Shakalakas in there or something. So hopefully he'll see that. And
yeah, that'd be some good promotion and exposure for the mod. And the other thing is much like he did with March Madness, 2K14, I like this... And it's something that should really take off more. And I know you've done similar things in the past, of course, as well with your mods, John.
Where do you get
but
it from?
The whole... but, well, yeah, there you go.
Yeah. Would it be an ass about it, John?
It's important. Well, it's important to know who invented these things when it comes to money. But, yeah, the whole idea of the demos and getting something early out and the betas and everything, because... And I know, and I avoided it with the current rosters because naturally nobody would read the release notes that says, yes, I've only added 20 of the rookies so far, next to coming in the next thing, so I'd have to wait until I just created all of them. Because when it comes to current rosters, it's kind of different because people kind of want everything right now. But with mods like that, it's a really good idea and stops it being delayed, basically, to get those demos out. So it's a really good idea, and we should all probably follow your lead and
well,
be more excited to do it.
And
yeah.
The way he does it is completely different from the way I did it. I'm more of a... I was trying to explain this to him, and he just kind of banned me on Steam. No. It's kind of like an onion peel. So I'm more of a, you know, just throw out whatever I have done, but it's done for every team. So let's say I do like NBA Street, but I only have like two courts done. So... I do NBA Street, but it's only with two courts and no uniforms. And then I add a uniform update, and then I add a court update, and then it just kind of grows from there.
Yeah.
Whereas he's more of a...
incremental, things that are complete, but in increments. Kind of.
Yes.
Like a full team, and then another full team kind of thing, yeah.
Building up from the top and just seeing how far it will go.
Yeah.
And I mean, he's not even done with the NCAA mod. He just posted saying that, you know, he's done with it for right now, but he's going to go back to it for the next season at some point.
Cool.
So... And I'm not going to go into it, but I am working on, I guess you could say, the city. Screw your park, I'm making the city. And essentially, this is going to be a street mod thing where instead of having just like a little environment for one court, I'm going to have a little environment for multiple courts in one little park, and then multiple parks in one huge kind of city that's made up of... a mashup of Minnesota and Boston. And
the KG connection, if you will.
Yeah. Oh, actually, I didn't even think of that. But
Brooklyn.
Kevin Garnett, cover player. Yeah. In the Brooklyn jersey, just to be really weird.
If I could just get that damn clone working in Red MC, and I could put in all the cities I want. But yeah, Red MC is still being developed. I keep breaking the tool on Vlad, and he keeps cursing at me, and then delaying. Hey, you know, there's all these like
thanks,
stupid
John.
It's like, oh, this is working great. Oh yeah, but I have to hex edit this in, so let's try to work on this. All right, I fixed that. Okay, but you broke this. Okay, I fixed that, but now this is broken. I just hear that, oh damn it, John.
It's when they abruptly go offline that you know that
I've gone too far.
So the old days of being snubbed on MSN Messenger, you say someone, hey, be right back. And it's like, yeah. You don't want to talk about that, do you?
You'd be the real bastard and you just block them and said, yeah, I have to go. Or
my planet needs me.
Yeah. And then you block them after like a week or two and it's like, hey, sorry, I've been really busy avoiding you.
But when he's not avoiding
you. Young love.
The good old days. Can't do that on Facebook at the moment, so.
Yeah. But no, it just keeps getting less and less private.
Yeah.
But he does have the uniform. I just want to make sure I say it. Uniform numbers, uniform names can be the texture sizes can be changed. Text editing for all the in-game text is implemented, and he's working on my subfiles now. So, hip hip hooray!
Well, great stuff coming. We're over 900 files for NBA 2K14 in the download section now. So, catching up to that elusive 1,000. A little behind last year. I know a lot of people are using MediaFire. Please don't. But you know, upload it so we can preserve it for posterity and future generations.
We can archive it like the ET game in the desert.
Yes. Well, in this, you're not really digging up crap, but when you go through our download section, but
it really needs
because you got none of my cyber faces are in there, so you're not digging up crap. So just...
It really needs to be said though that we're not gaining anything from having the download database. Like it's not like there's no real other than preserving, you know, mods and stuff. There's no like benefit to having all this additional hosting that we just weren't using.
There's no revenue stream. There's
There's no revenue stream. We're not making money off your mod.
No, that's right. Yeah, we're not making money.
Oh my god.
We are jerks. But we're not jerks in that way. But yeah, it really is. You know, it's preserving it, making sure that it's a great big database that everyone can central database that everyone can find the stuff.
Become a contributor and make sure you keep uploading to our database because Daddy needs a new pair of shoes.
Yeah.
I got strippers to pay.
But,
I got diapers to buy.
I have to support my Fabergé egg habit.
You're 15
grand a day.
Oh, I thought it was 1500 a day.
Oh, well, I've got a guy. So, but yeah, so of course...
I'll tell you when I had enough.
But please keep using the upload facilities. We aren't screwing you over on any revenue or anything. We just want to preserve those files and I guess thump our chest and say, look what a big database we have. But but yeah, it's
our database. Our database is 20 kilobytes big.
That's
such database.
It all counts. It all counts. But yeah, please make use of the facilities. But moving on real quick to a couple of NBA Live 14 notes. We usually do NBA Live at the top of the podcast. We had a few 2K things to take care of, and I do want to mention these. The first thing I wanted to quickly mention is that there's playoff content for big moments in the live season mode of NBA Live 14. So things like LaMarcus Aldridge having some big games, which of course we'll get to when we get to the NBA section of the podcast. The Wizards defeating the Bulls, which I'm not so thrilled about. I don't really want to play that one, but you know I probably will end up doing it anyway. And the game winner by Vince Carter, of course, the other day against the Spurs. So, as usual, still adding it, and good to see them adding content into the playoffs. And the other thing they've got going is in NBA Live 14 Ultimate Team, they're having playoff packs, and I think they had a complimentary pack when you first log in to Ultimate Team.
Nick Collison. Collison.
I got... who did I get? Was it Maurice Spites? Spates? I think it might have been.
King of the Rap Foul.
the pack basically gives you a random player from one of the 16 teams. There's also different challenges based on the playoff matchups and whatnot. So they're still, again, updating the content through the playoffs, which is cool. My only concern, of course, is at some point the server's going to be shut off, so are all these features going to be gone from the game?
Yep.
You know, if you do your plates, but nevertheless, for the moment, they are still pushing through the updates. And actually, we do have another NBA Live developer in the forum now, Fernando, who is in charge of the roster updates.
And accessories.
Yep. He's been keeping tabs on things. He gave us a little note and said that there's been a technical glitch with the rosters that they haven't been able to push through for a couple of weeks. But basically, he's been keeping tabs of all the discrepancies, jersey numbers, a couple of jersey numbers that are incorrect, although Troy Daniels is actually back to 30 now. I think I was going off an incorrect listing there. But he's been keeping track of all that stuff. It's going to be coming through in the next couple of weeks with any luck. And if there is any other feedback that you want to give on the rosters, including, as Ben said, accessories, my big one that's really been bugging me for some reason is Deron Williams having a headband. because you know, if it's not the shoes, it's the headband. You can post it in the headband.
Gotta be the shoes.
Sorry.
The headband makes it. That's why Darius Miles had such a successful career. but you can post that feedback in the Sticky thread, the roster feedback and checklist thread that's stickied in the NBA Live 14 section of the forum. And of course, the developers are also aware of our NBA Live 15 wishlist efforts. I have had a chat to a couple of them behind the scenes. They're happy with what we're giving them so far. Keep that coming if you've got any constructive ideas. That thread is also stickied in the NBA Live 14 section because it's a bit too early for a Live 15 section. and I've also created a thread for my fellow Dynasty geeks and myself to talk about what we want in Dynasty, and that's been passed along to them as well. So if you have any other suggestions about Dynasty, feel free to post them. But I think that's pretty much all for the... for the NBA Live 14 discussion, but speaking of Ultimate Team and of course my team and my career and everything, the main discussion topic that that you brought up, John, a couple of weeks ago that we're saving for this week is basically what does it mean to be dedicated to a series? And there was a post on Operation Sports recently where a few people were talking about how much money they've spent on modes like My Team and John, some of them spent quite a bit of money.
Scared the crap out of me, man. Like, yeah. That's scary.
We're talking like $800 in some cases. And I think one of the comments was that they would have spent up to about $2,000 if they didn't rein it in or didn't get what they wanted or something. It was
amazing. And it made me question myself hugely. I wanted to bring this up to begin with just because... You know, oh my God, am I wrong? Am I okay as a person? Am I just? You know, all that kind of self-doubt crap.
Well, John, if the internet judges you, I mean, you're doing okay. But it's just.
But it's been a thing of self-question, just because I don't play the games that often. I do a lot more tweaking. I do a lot more modding and stuff. And when I do play the games, it's a lot of association stuff. And not a whole or blacktop mode. It's not a whole lot of diving into my career. Not a whole lot of online at all. You know, it's something where someone messaged me on YouTube saying, "Hey, you know, I'm trying to think of I'm making a My Career player. I need to know what the best shot form and shot base combinations are."
I don't know.
Whatever one I picked. Yeah. I mean, I'm not trying to be an asshole.
It's just...
I just don't know.
Yeah.
So it was just something that I wanted to bring up to you guys because I don't know exactly anymore what it means to be dedicated. I consider myself dedicated. I know a lot about these games inside and out, but if any of you guys want to play me one-on-one, you're going to kick the crap out of me. And Operation Sports does like the article on should the zone defense be taken out of NBA 2K because it's so cheesed upon. I'm like, people are cheesing that? And, you know, general cluelessness to the actual gameplay itself. And it's just, I bought every single basketball game that has come my way from EA and 2K. You know, obviously, I've skipped the Sony ones and the Konami, whatever the hell that thing was. We do not speak of that game.
NBA untested,
but it's just something I wanted to bring up, just because it seems so different because obviously those people are dedicated. If they're putting hundreds of dollars into the game, I mean, I would pay $200-$300 if I just get a next gen port on PC. and then probably also if you could throw in a video card to make my PC run it. But you know, it's it made me call into question. I think I threw a list to you. I forget what it was because I'm too lazy to click the Skype window and scroll up. But yeah, so I said, what does it mean to be dedicated to a series? Is it buying annually? Is it being active in the community? Which, you know, obviously we're very active with the community, but I don't think any of us are really that active in the game community, like in-game, playing in the park, playing online, or even just immersing yourself in the game or sharing content like that. Does it mean to be dedicated? Do we have to be able to be, do we have to buy all the DLC? Do we have to buy in-game currency? Or is it even just shilling out to EA and 2K at every chance possible for on Twitter? Like my Twitter, I hate following the NBA 2K and the EA Sports NBA Twitter handles because all I get are retweets about people playing stupid plays that mine don't get retweeted in. it's just
bitter
interesting.
No bitterness.
But no, it is interesting for me to see all of the retweets of, there's just some guy who has got like 4 followers. And, you know, someone who obviously doesn't use Twitter a whole lot or anything. And all he put in was, I'm playing NBA Live 14. And he didn't use the hashtag or anything. But the EA Sports account retweeted it. I'm like, for that? And
well, I guess for them, it's brand awareness as they try to reestablish their...
And they're doing a great job of it, I think.
Agreed.
But it's just more of a... Is that person dedicated? I mean, is it dedicated to say that EA Sports has retweeted me 4 times? I mean, I'm proud of the fact that the official 2K account is following my Twitter account. Mm-hmm. And they only follow like 1,000 people to their hundreds of thousands of followers. I mean, and that's cool. But does that mean that I'm dedicated just because of that? I mean, I guess I've lost definition of what does it mean to be dedicated with these games.
Okay. Well, I run a basketball video game website, so QED. moving on. No, I mean it's like any kind of fanaticism. I mean, look, I love the NBA. I love the Bulls, of course. I'm not constantly buying merch, though. You know, I do have merch. I do have DVDs, NBA DVDs, of course, and I do have some jerseys, of course, as well. But I'm not constantly buying them because you know, there's other things to buy. You know, I don't have an NBA salary to spend on NBA merchandise. There's different levels of that and whether it's a financial commitment or whatever. And I think the fact that we're obviously all of us involved in a site about basketball video games, we've modded them, we talk about them, we do a podcast about them. We buy them every year. And of course, you look at us, John, this year, you and I bought 2 versions of NBA 2K14. I know, Ben, you skipped out on the PC version. You just wanted to go next gen this year. And
bastard.
Certainly nothing wrong with that.
Judgment.
You cannot enjoy the jam mod. So, I mean, we certainly do put the, put the money into it to a certain extent. And by buying the games every year and whatnot, and spending hours on producing content for them and talking about them, and I guess, you know, to a certain extent promoting them. You know, I see something cool in big moments, I'll usually put it out there on our Twitter and get retweeted by the official NBA Live account to get a few likes and followers of our own, because that's the kind of whore I am. for the side, that's the sacrifices that I make. I mean, obviously interested in the games, and I don't mind throwing that out there, and because it's content that's relevant to us, of course. As far as the DLC and everything, I mean, I've probably spent about $20 on Ultimate Team for NBA Live, and part of that was just because I had to put a little bit extra in. Just to grab that super ultra mega pack, whatever it was, just to see what it was and just be amazed at what they gave me. But I mean, that's pretty much all I'd spend. I mean, they've already got my money for the game, and I'm enjoying it. And I don't regret buying it at all. But it depends what kind of content they put out. I mean, if they put out an expansion that added I don't know, All-Star Weekend or something, put that out for $5 3 months after the game, I'd buy that, or even $10. You know, I'd buy that. If it's like anything, if the content is worth paying for when it comes to DLC, you know, and of course I have to go back to the Fallout examples here, but both Fallout 3 and New Vegas put out a lot of DLC that probably when you came to it, what I spent on that was probably about the equivalent of a game and a half, but really felt more like 2.5 to 3 games worth of content with all the stuff they added. So, I mean, that to me felt like value. And if you're giving value, you know, the DLC is worth it. And I know people really rag on DLC, but I was thinking about it the other day, actually, guys. And it's we talk about it like it's this new evil in gaming, but look at the old days of gaming. What would you do? You'd go down to the arcade and put in a lot of quarters or dollars or whatever. You'd just spend a fortune in the arcades, you know, giving the money for, what, 5 minutes of gameplay and then please insert more coins. So, I mean, the idea of, you know, compared to that, we've actually got a pretty good deal with DLC, except when they start taking things out and making them downloadable content instead. But, yeah, I don't think you have to spend $800. And I know one of the guys said, well, it's funny. So I used to spend that on weed and booze. So, so I mean, that... Probably healthier, depending on
it's one addiction to another. But yeah,
well, that's the thing. Swapping it for slightly less, you know, this is the yeah, more addictive than crack. Apparently, my team that can be in the next teaser trailer. But I don't know. It's like anything that everyone approaches their fanaticism and has their dedication in their own different ways. I mean, you John, you love Blacktop, and that's fine. As you know, they keep screwing you over with it. but I mean, that's what you talk about. That's what you like to play. Fantastic, and that's what interests you. And obviously, people take this great interest in my team and are willing to spend that much. Yeah, I think $20 is about the limit I'd spend on that. I haven't spent any money on my team because, frankly, you can spend. It's not worth it with the VC rewards that you get. The value is not there. But if they improve the value, yeah, I might spend up to $20 just to try and get a Jordan card. I mean, hell, all the money I spent back in the day trying to get basketball cards of Michael Jordan that are now worth 20 cents, if anything. But you know, so hell, you know, waste that money as a kid, I'll waste it as an adult too. But no, it's... I see your point, but I think we can all say, again, it's not about thumbing our chest and saying it's dedicated. It's about, do we enjoy these games? Do we enjoy the podcast, doing the site, modding, playing these games in the way we want? We do? Fantastic. Then, you know, we're fans that are getting value for money and supporting the product we want to support, raising concerns that we want to raise, enjoying ourselves, having a good time. That's what it's all about. Yeah, we're dedicated. Well, and once again, I'm running a website about basketball video gaming, so QED.
Well, let's compare penis sizes a little bit better then. phrasing. if we had to pick who's more dedicated, I mean, is it just the simple? I'm not trying to, you know, try to talk myself up and say I'm top dog here, and you know it's because Jousming said so. Ha ha. You know, it's.
I'll buy it.
If we had to quantify it, I mean, obviously in the eyes of 2K, the people who are the most dedicated, the people who they like the most, are the people who are buying DLC.
I guess.
Probably second to the people who are convincing people to buy more DLC or are buying the game. And you could say that we kind of fall into that second category where we're trying to, you know, we're very anti-piracy. We're very, you know, support the developers and everything. So I guess not from the 2K, from the, I guess I could say that from the 2K standpoint, but I mean... I guess it's very easy to say everyone contributes in their own way and everyone has their own kind of viewpoint on how they contribute and what's worthy of being dedicated to a series. Like, you know, like you said, you got the people spending hundreds of dollars on my team and Ultimate Team. You have me who, no, I spent my $150 for the year.
Yeah.
I'm happy with my sure. games. You run along now with your in-game currencies.
A Ruby Durant card. It just...
Yeah, that's awesome.
Every time I try to redeem that code, I'm too late. It's just like, sorry, this code has been used up.
Strangely enough, it's taken to this point for me to realize that I'm supposed to log into my 2K and get my VC for the day. but it's interesting because if all I do is pay the, you know, the $60 to buy the game each year, you know, yeah. I'm no better than the person who, or in some ways, no better than the person who buys it and plays it for a week and then never plays it again.
Yeah. Well, I mean, there's only so much chest thumping we can do online, but as far as being a dedicated fan, I would have to assume that anyone, especially since sports titles do get ragged on for being, it's just a roster update for a recommended retail price every single year. It's not quite. That is talking down the efforts to go into them, but, you know, there is some merit to that argument as well with a yearly release compared to, I don't know, an RPG series that's 2 or 3, 4 years apart, Bethesda, Fallout. I mean, if you are spending that money every single year to get a game that may be incrementally better than the last one, or in some cases, I mean, you look at what might be happening with the PC releases or the Xbox 360, PS3 releases in the following years, probably going to be mostly roster updates because the main focus is going to be on the new generation, then certainly, if you're buying it every year, I think you're definitely... I say, well, yeah, I'm pretty dedicated, pretty serious about these games. If I'm getting the new one every year, that's slightly better, slightly more up to date. And then, of course, you've got the more fanatical ones that will pay real money for the in-game currency. But
yeah, but it's their money, and they don't have to be fanatical.
Oh, I mean, that's fine. I'm just saying, if you're looking at the scale of fanaticism and craziness, then certainly they might be up that end of the scale, but. If you're looking to quantify with just a basic benchmark, then certainly I think anyone who's buying at least one of the games every single year, and certainly anyone who's, now that there are two games back on the market, more than one title to be able to alternate between the two, as we have done in the past and this year as well. I mean, that's a pretty dedicated... I think that's dedication. That's dedication. If anything, spending $800 or $1,000, that may be fanaticism. But, I mean, if that's what you want to do, fantastic. But, I simply think supporting the product, taking an interest in it, buying it year after year, you're a pretty dedicated fan. Wanting to see it succeed, you can see different kinds of fanaticism and interest, but... If you buy it every year, I'd say you're pretty dedicated. But Ben, what do you feel the dedication is? I mean, you've written tomes of things to send to EA Sports of feedback to give them. So obviously, you're pretty passionate about these games. I mean,
exactly.
So what do you feel is dedication?
I think I'll use the case of the situation like what happened with NBA Live when it sort of fell off the last couple of years and dedication in terms of the fan base or for those who wanting the game to come back. You know, they're willing to help, you know.
Yeah, good point.
Good tips to the developers and all that stuff. I'd say that's someone dedicated. You know, that they're willing to stick by it even when it's through its hard times, like in terms of, you know, the whole relationships thing. Like, I remember, you know, a lot of people saying... In writing an article, so, you know, comparing NBA Live to like an ex-girlfriend that hurt you or something, you know, it's hurt you in the past and all that stuff, but you still sort of have this interest in it and maybe wanting to go back to it and all that stuff. So I think,
damn, people need perspective.
Yeah. And then it's for those who were definitely dedicated and loyal in terms of. In a supportive way of, you know, not giving up on the game and not abandoning it. Those who have, you know, helped write wish lists, us in terms of what we've done in terms of the community, not just moderating or administering, being administrator for community-based sites, but also for you, Andrew, the rosters and stuff that you've done.
Yep.
For me, the visual art assets and stuff with the uniforms and... helping out with some other things in the backgrounds and all that. John, you're, you know, the work you've done with... your work with like the tutorials videos and all that stuff, you know.
Yeah,
example. Yeah. The not just the court stuff that you've done as well, but, you know, I was just looking for something different, and, you know, the way you've helped the community in that sense, learn how to patch in that sense. So for those who are just beginning to find their way within the community and becoming dedicated like we have in some form over the last 10 plus years, you know, that we've been here and all that stuff for us individually in terms of that. So yeah, there's definitely different forms of it.
But yeah, that is an interesting point because it reminds me of the... you know, you've talked about the down years of NBA Live being a very good example of it. Kind of like following a team that's has a rough rebuilding period and takes a while to get back into the playoffs.
Bulls, yeah.
Oh. Yeah. Yeah. I didn't say it.
But, well, at the moment, it's I don't know what comparison you'd make with the current Bulls and the bad luck and everything, but... you know that, but yeah, sort of seeing, being a long-suffering fan kind of thing, and
you know,
but sticking with it,
yeah, not
no, it's a good point.
Not walking away or abandoning it, a lot of people,
or taking an interest in other things. Like I must admit, when the Bulls were kind of bad, you know, playoff time would come around, they were nowhere to be seen. I'd say, well, you know, which players do I kind of like? You know, who would I like to see? You know, finally get a ring or something. And I guess in recent years, I've played much more 2K. But now that NBA Live is back, I'm obviously excited about that. So yeah, that's a good parallel. I like that. Yeah,
We can even use the comparison that you go through a rough patch with with the girlfriend, and your eyes start to wander until things get patched up. As you say, well, there's a little
sure.
You know, and you iron things out. You know, because both of you have made mistakes in the past, or, you know, one's made the mistake, and then it's the figuring process, and then whether mutual return and all that stuff. Somehow this has gone beyond basketball games, hasn't it?
Yeah, so I was like, we've gone way different ways.
We've gone deep, baby.
But, you know, like you said, Ben, a lot of people do feel that personal connection to a brand.
Yeah,
and they do feel... You know, they do feel burnt. Like, yes,
it's because we became invested. So
there's people that say they'll never buy from EA again for whatever reason. You know, the fact that they abandoned the PC community, which, I mean, they don't release on PC, of course, with NBA Live, but it's not really to spite us or anything like that. It's sales figures. But yeah, there are people that they do feel hurt by the brand. And I guess that's why EA did get the worst company in America for a couple of years running, you know, which I still think is weird when there's banks, insurance people screwing people over left and right. That,
yeah.
Oh, it's all about the video games priorities.
But it's yeah, again, it's just
that personal relationship. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, it's, you hit the rough patch in that sense, and you feel wrong by, so there's that bitterness. And then, you know, then the stage of maybe forgiveness and all that stuff. Again, keeping all in that theme. And yeah, so yeah.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
To reel it back a second, it's just, you know, I think that everyone's dedicated in their own way. I have no problem with calling the person who's got hundreds of dollars invested in the game dedicated. I have no problem calling myself dedicated for just buying it and doing all the community stuff that all three of us do, and many others in the community do. I have no problem calling YouTubers dedicated. I have no problem calling people who just play online dedicated. People who play the game regularly and have that attachment to the game and investment is that they're all validly dedicated in my mind. I think the main question I really wanted to ask you guys is, I'm answering my own question here. How do we know if we're wrong or not? Like, I mean,
well, can we be? I mean, like I said, we all enjoy the things. I mean, the fact that I like Dynasty more and you like Blacktop more, neither of us are right. I am because Dynasty's better. I am because my modes win. Yours are being phased out slowly.
I can't wait till we start talking about the NBA.
Yeah. Get my knocks in while I can. But, how are those Celtics doing? But,
oh, mate.
I'm just sitting here sweeping.
Yeah, we can then both gang up on Ben later for the Heat, but it all becomes brotherly again.
We're talking about bandwagoners, right?
but you know,
I'm
spiking
your water when I meet you, man.
Like I won't notice.
Anyway. But
honestly, you hadn't already passed out. We were talking like some 75% plus strong proof stuff, man. It's gonna put you on the floor.
This is a bottle of methods. But it's I don't think there is you know, I know it sounds like a real cop out, but I mean, we all have different tastes. I mean, again, are any of us right for liking this team or that team? I mean, well, John, you can say that your team's won more championships than anyone, so and you're actually the only one who's in the vicinity of the team that you follow. So you've actually got the a hometown connection to it with Massachusetts, of course.
Whatever you say. I mean,
sorry.
Yeah.
But I mean, you could argue the appeal to authority fallacy and whatever. But I mean, like I said, I don't think you can be wrong. But no one can say, well, you're playing this game wrong. Like John, if you want to take your sliders and make it street-like or jam-like or even just like a bit of a mix of sim and arcade, I mean, if that's what's having fun, I think when people, when gamers take it to that point, like, oh, you're not playing on the hardest difficulty or you're not getting, you're not getting realistic scores, so you're doing it
those
wrong.
Those people.
Like, oh. Those people, yeah.
I mean, know. They're fun.
It's, yeah. And of course, if those people are enjoying the game that they want, the way they want to play, enjoy it, fantastic. Then they're, it's all about how you want to enjoy the game. And although if you are spending over $2,000,
$2 million,
certainly if you are spending that much on VC, you do have a problem.
Seek professional help.
Maybe you could buy the Clippers, but throw your hat into the ring with Magic and Co. But
Mayweather.
Yeah, I don't think there's a wrong way to enjoy the games, unless I don't know, using them for frisbee practice or something that maybe is like, no, you actually have to put them in the console or the computer. But yeah, I mean, Ben, are you going to be a snob about your gaming?
I've been
damn those people who play on Rookie.
Yeah,
damn them.
With regards to purchasing, in this case with the VC stuff, I mean, I spent a little bit more real money on purchasing VC last year than I did this year. I spent less than $5 this year, whereas last year I'd probably spent around the $20 mark.
rabble.
Cheater!
That's just because I was just purely impatient with the slow process. And it was technically worse this year with regards to some of the things, but but yeah, I did enjoy playing it a bit more last year. I don't know. What was the actual question?
Well, I mean, is there a wrong way? When you say are you dedicated, is there a wrong answer can you play the game in a wrong way? I mean, can you be wrong about how you enjoy the game? I mean, I don't
go
think so.
Your own way.
Yes.
Okay.
Don't sing anymore. We have to pay for the rights.
Okay. I think in terms of extreme, I won't say extreme, but extreme addiction, that person that spent $2,000 to even to the point.
He spent about $700 or $800, but said he would have spent.
Oh, okay, sorry.
Which itself is still a little troubling, but
yes, it doesn't make it much better.
Yeah,
but to someone that excessively expends that much, it's like the crack version of Candy Crush Saga, I guess, for them. To, I guess, people who spend their whole lives in front of, in obsessive terms, patching and stuff like what we've done. I got that way sort of when I started out, and it was I think 2004, I got really bad. And I tried to stop myself in 2005, and I didn't really release too much in terms of patches, but I got withdrawals. And then, obviously, 2006, I started coming back and then doing a lot of stuff. And then, I think, by 2008, I sort of started to slow back up again because the visual elements from those two games and that sort of, the resolution decreases in the assets and that was bugging me, and I wasn't happy with it, with the visual looks, because it looked so nasty. And it felt. Going backwards, it was kind of like using RPG Maker 2003, then using VX, which was the newer version, but the software had even worse graphics than the previous version, than XP, which was 2003. Sorry. It's knowing when to stop yourself, and if you can't get to that point, then you're in trouble.
If I had to sum it up in a couple of sentences, John, because I know I waffled around trying to get to my point with that last question, but if I had to sum it up, then if you're buying the games every year, you're enjoying them, you're not feeling like you're throwing your money away, then you're dedicated, and it's a healthy dedication. It's not You're not just buying it and hating every moment of it, which would just be silly.
Yeah.
But we're running a basketball video game site, so we're no, everyone's enjoying it anyway. But yeah, any final thoughts of yours, John?
I don't know. It's it was interesting enough for me to want to bring up, just because.
Yeah, I mean, it's well, the figures blew my mind.
I never thought of it that way. I never would have thought that people, I guess, informed people. People who I would consider informed people on Operation Sports or our site or any other site that know the development of the game, that understand, you know, how VC works, understands, you know, that kind of stuff that our sites talk about, would willingly just give them money for virtual money that can be whisked away with one corrupt save.
Mm. But I mean, you look, obviously, as Ben said, people do it for Candy Crush and all the other games like that.
That's just a whole different evil.
but I mean, it seems like as much as we complain about it, as gamers, obviously, we buy into it.
Change.
So, yeah.
No, it's...
Is this a bad time to bring up the fact that in the forum we're going to have our own form of virtual currency very soon?
Buy your way onto the team.
Ban who you want. For a $10,000 donation.
Yeah. Oh my god.
It just...
That guy.
Yeah. You mean, oh, the guy who offered me $100,000 for the site so he could kick you off the team or kick someone off the team.
It wasn't me.
Because I know it was around the time that I put on you and Thailand and Big Horde and everyone the first time, yeah. So someone upset him, and
He seriously, someone seriously offered $100,000 to buy the site just to, wow.
Not to run it and do a good job with it, just to fire people on the team, yeah.
Not bitter at all, was he?
No.
He was a great guy.
Yeah.
He lasted great all of strategy. 2 seconds.
Yeah. The funny thing is, I took his money and kept him banned. I really needed that new ivory back scratcher too. Definitely an interesting. It was an interesting thing to consider because, like I say, the amount I think was what surprised me most, and you can say that certainly is a form of dedication to spend that much.
Wow. So I guess the main purpose of this, I just wanted to give some awareness to the fact that there's no right way to be dedicated to the series.
Absolutely.
We all have our own ways. And
anyone who thumps their chest on an online forum or whatever and says, you know, I play in the hardest difficulty with the controller upside down and a blindfold on. Actually, that's kind of impressive.
All while juggling.
Even so, while juggling things as well.
On fire.
So, okay, you need a YouTube channel. This will go viral, but
you need to hit the road on some global tour.
Yeah. Also need to get out of the house a bit, but that is still pretty cool. At least film it. But yeah.
And your health insurance must be
there's premiums. Yeah. That's all, yeah. And you'd be able to afford them if it wasn't for all the VC you're buying. But it just... Yeah.
Awesome.
But good luck. Good luck to that fella. And I mean, well, he's not spending on booze and weed, so. good stuff. And if that's how he enjoys the game, that's what he wants to spend his money on. Cool, absolutely. You know, that's...
I don't know if he buzz-killed himself by changing addiction, but yeah.
VC's a hell of a drug. But with that, anything else to say, or shall we move on to me getting made fun of because the Bulls are out of the playoffs?
I was going to be polite, so.
Oh no, I'm going to give you it now.
Yeah. Okay. So.
Well, Andrew Ben's over.
Yeah. Well, if you have, of course, if you have any thoughts on the matter of dedication to the series and want to tell us how much you've spent on extra content for NBA Live, NBA 2K, or indeed any video game, let us know, of course, in the comments below or in the forum thread. But moving on to the NBA playoffs, they are underway. A couple of teams are out of the playoffs. One is run by my favorite player of all time, the Charlotte Bobcats, of course. Well, now I guess they're on their way to be the Charlotte Hornets. And, of course, my favorite team, the Bulls. And, go ahead, John.
To the Wizards. The Wizards. To the Wizards. John Wall. Bradley Beal. Nene Hilario.
He's Brazilian.
No, it sucks having your team eliminated from the playoffs, and you know, once Rose gets healthy, maybe next year for the third time in a row.
But I mean, if anything, it really, I mean, the Wizards, they simply outplayed, out-hustled the Bulls. You know, the final minute of game five, just the Bulls had their chances to win. Jimmy Butler missed a layup, which pretty much summed up the Bulls' offense in a nutshell. And then, again, they had a chance, and this every single loose ball, every rebound was just being back-tapped to a Wizards player. And it's hustle. That's all the Bulls do. They can't score. They can't score if the other team leaves the court for 20 minutes. But they can hustle. They can defend. And, I mean, I knew at some point that the Bulls' lack of offense was going to be exposed because, you know, defense wins championships and all that. But it doesn't really matter. If you can hold the opponent to 75 points, if you can't score 76, it doesn't matter. You know, you're still going to lose the game, obviously. You've got to be able to put the ball in the basket as well as stop the other team. So, well, really simple thing.
At least in this free throw derby.
Yeah. And I knew it would be exposed at some point. I thought they'd be able to make it through to the second round, and that's when they'd run into more trouble and be pinned down by a superior opponent. But the Wizards played better, and, well, you know, bring on Rose with a healthy comeback, and hey, bring on Carmelo. I'll say it. You know, that can happen. If there's one thing Carmelo Anthony can do, it's score. He can also rebound a bit, but he can score. And if there's one thing the Bulls can't do at the moment, it's score. So defense will take care of itself. They just need more scorers, basically. But it was... it's funny, the Wizards, of course, are making the official Twitter made fun of the experts that picked it. And I thought, well, that's really easy to say after you've won. And there was rather fun. There's a funny comment from someone. I won't repeat the whole thing because there's an offensive word in there. But especially in the case in light of Donald Sterling. Basically said, oh, these guys aren't used to winning, are they? Of the Wizards. It's like, yeah. But, you know, they for now they can be cocky. Reality is probably going to bitch slap them if they get through to face the Heat in the Eastern Finals, but not so cocky then. But, you know, they moved on. They played well. They won fair and square. You know, hats off to them. Bulls regroup for next year. But, yeah. Any other shots we want to take at Derrick Rose of the Bulls, guys? I'm all ears. The Bulls blew it like Rose blew out his ACL.
Like I said, I was going to be nice, so I had.
Well, I'll take the shot set, I guess.
I've said my part. It was a fine little series they had there. I wanted to see more of Noah being better.
Yeah.
But
busting out triple doubles like he did all season long.
But it wasn't meant.
Wasn't meant to be, no. But as for the other team that's been eliminated, the Bobcats, of course, swept. I was kind of hoping they would get because they haven't got a postseason win yet. I was hoping they'd pick up one.
Same. But... I was hoping at least go 4-1. I was even optimistic, hopefully, for a 4-2 result.
And they didn't do too bad. They didn't really get blown out that much.
The first two games in particular, you know, they held their own. I felt it was their scores started to get a little bit larger, like in terms of points difference in that in the last two games in that. But yeah, I think they did well, and hopefully next season they can do better and hopefully get that first postseason win if they make it.
Although they'll never get a win as the Bobcats.
Will be right in the world.
Yes, except for the Oklahoma City Thunder and the disappointed fans in Seattle. But
that's true.
That's another story altogether.
Yeah. Sorry, mate.
but Al Jefferson, guys, you know, he injured himself in game one, obviously toughed it out, you know, much respect to him. He's got to be looking at Roy Hibbert and thinking, I should have been an all-star. Look at the way you're playing.
Yeah, I mean, all seriousness, like, seeing how much you could see how he was hurting, but still soldiering on, you know, much respect to Jefferson.
Al,
and that. Yeah, it was disappointing not seeing him get an all-star appearance this year. I mean, I think he definitely deserved it, you know. And, I mean, I know I made comments that with regards to Hibbert, you know, when, you know, that whole thing comparison between it was him and Kwame Brown, wasn't it?
Yes.
You know, and I stated that, yeah, but Hibbert plays defense and that just these last few weeks and obviously during this playoffs, wasn't the case.
He's stuck.
Yeah, he was playing about as good as I could see.
Oh.
Even you could see that. But,
yeah.
But before in the last podcast we recorded, we threw out our predictions for the playoffs. We predicted that Atlanta would win the championship just for the hell of it at one point. They're currently up 3-2 on the Pacers, speaking of Hibbert. Upset, guys? Is it going to happen? I hope so.
They have crumbled. Just burn. It's just laughable, is the best way I can describe that, with how the Pacers are playing.
Yeah.
I posted it on our Facebook page and Twitter. A fat geezer posted it in the forum. Did you see the video of the very disappointed Pacers fan yelling at Paul George?
I heard about it, but I didn't actually get to see it.
Oh, it is a thing of beauty.
Yeah. He's just yelling, "That's a travel! You're an all-star! You want to go home? You want to lose to the Hawks, Atlanta?" This guy has paid for his seat, and he's damn it if he's not going to speak his mind.
It was absolute brutal truths right on every single bit of it. It was glorious. Just
I'm
absolutely
gonna
glorious.
I'm going to take a look at it.
Well worth a look.
Awesome. Yeah.
If you load up facebook.com/theNLSC, you can actually see it on our timeline.
No worries. I'm just thinking, like, with regards to...
Shameless!
Plugged in. I'm just thinking, like, Paul George obviously got robbed twice. The result on the court and obviously at home.
Oh.
That's when you know you're having a bad day.
Don't make me write down the timestamps. I don't want to edit this stuff anymore than I have. but no, it's George is a one-time MVP candidate, but yeah, that's kind of...
flush.
Yeah. But yeah, one more win. Atlanta has done it. I believe they play tomorrow.
Yeah.
Is that game?
I believe it is. And
today, rather, or when we're recording this.
And then...
Okay. Brooklyn, Toronto, Portland, Houston, and Dallas, San Antonio is today's games. Tomorrow they will be playing, obviously. Okay, so not quite out of it yet, but hanging on by a thread.
They may last longer than Houston by a day.
They will return before Derrick Rose. Meanwhile, the Raptors, who were, of course, rocketed up the standings this year to be third, in the East, they're taking on the Brooklyn Celtics.
well done.
Which is funny because it's only two former Celtics now. Not even Jason Terry's there now, so it's that's not up at two games apiece. I've seen a couple of games in those series. In that series, any thoughts on that one, guys? Which way do you see that one going?
Left, right, up, and down. I don't care. I really don't care. I want both teams to advance and both teams to do well in the playoffs. So I'm just being entertained by the games.
Sure. Yeah. I kind of want Brooklyn because I feel there'll be a stronger matchup.
Yeah, they'll be more physical. And because, like, with obviously Chicago now out, sorry, this is not to be in a dig, they're a very physical side.
Do you think Chicago would have matched up with these Heat? I mean, look what the Wizards took them out.
No, but look how competitive, physically competitive the games have been between. Like, there's bad blood between those two teams.
They don't
so
care
that whole lot,
very much.
Yeah, so that rivalry factor, you know, that's
absolutely.
I mean, it would have made the series entertaining, and like, I suppose, like, I could be the Heat fan that says, "Oh, I want." The easy road for the Heat, so obviously ATL, and then obviously the Raptors would
Miami will be facing the winner of the Raptors Nets series in round two. Yeah. So it's either going to be the Raptors or Nets. Yeah, coming up.
But I meant in the course through to the finals. That was the road.
Sure.
So,
sure. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Well, we know it's going to be Miami Atlanta in the Eastern Finals, followed by Atlanta Memphis in the NBA Finals.
I think the Brooklyn matchup against the Heat will be more beneficial for the Heat to have that sort of competitive
a test.
Yeah, that real physical test. And I think if Indiana go, if they do get beat, which is looking like the case, then they'll at least have one challenging warm-up match to potentially try and reach the final. So
So before playing one of the against, potentially playing against one of the East teams and all that stuff. So, yeah, you don't want an easy road because then they can just sort of put into sort of mindset where you know it's where you play at the opposition's level. Where you know if you're having a really bad game, then both teams can sort of fall into that mentality and that where it's just put up shots, just it becomes just a backyard shoot around, warm up game kind of thing. So yeah, that's my thoughts on that for the East.
I mean, I guess maybe it's wishful thinking, but yeah, I'll pick Brooklyn to move on with the experience. But definitely, whatever happens, a great year for the Raptors. But moving on to the West, probably one of the most exciting first rounds, top to bottom, in years in the West. So many overtimes. I'm going to start out with a game that went into overtime today. The Grizzlies and Thunder game 5, fourth straight overtime period for those teams in this series. The Grizzlies prevailed in dramatic fashion at the buzzer when a shot was waved off. But that's been quite a good series.
Yeah, do you think with say that series goes to 7 games and say 5 to even 6 of those games are overtime games, how much in terms of the fatigue of already the season that it was, and then an extensive long first round, how much do you think that will take a toll on players?
I mean, it obviously has to, but these are world-class athletes, and those teams are reasonably young, or their stars are pretty young, so I think they'll bounce back pretty well. John?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, this is obviously the part of the podcast where I just kind of tone out a bit. Yeah. I don't know,
but actually, I did watch. I have a friend who lent me his login for League Pass because I'm considering getting it, and I watched the end of the Bulls game, of course, and then I watched a bit of the last bit of the Thunder Grizzlies, and Joey Crawford. Have you seen the footage at all?
Yes,
here is Durant's about to make a free throw to either tie the game or ultimately missed it and didn't. Running in at the last minute and waving it off, the crowd just giving it to him. And he runs over to the bench and he's like really berating this guy on the scoreboard. You know, put up, make sure it's 5 fouls. I'm thinking you couldn't have waited until after the free throw and then corrected that. You know, it was just more diva behavior from Joey Crawford. You know, I have to be the center of attention. I have to officiate. It's like,
well, you know, we have a commissioner now. I won't take no crap from nobody.
Well, that's right. I mean, we've already got rid of one cancer from the league. So, you know, I just don't care for Joey Crawford's personality or his officiating. I've seen him, again, having tuned into a few League Pass games. He always seems to be there. And it's, stop giving him work. I mean, even if you've got to pay him the same salary to sell hot dogs, just get him off the court.
No, he'll come onto the court with those hot dogs.
Oh, he'll probably just be there throwing hot dogs at players. Yeah, it's but then the Thunder did still have a chance to win it. Durant missed a rather bad look at a three, but Ibaka had a tip in that went, but just a whisker after the buzzer, after the light clearly on it. It was the right call
whisker
on the floor. A whisker, yes.
Nice.
It's the term I used in the forum, and I'm going to bring it here as well. I could have said a gnat's hair or something, or something more vulgar, but I'm going to go with whisker. what an epic finish that would have been! Just a tip in, you know, falling to the floor at the buzzer, but not to be. But pick a winner out of those ones, guys. Do the Thunder come back from 3-2? I mean, it's obviously not a 3-1 or a 3-0 deficit or anything, but
yeah, they do.
You reckon they do?
Oh yeah. It's Thunder. Yeah. They don't take no crap from nobody.
Thunder up. It's that Perkins connection.
No, it's yeah, they got this. I still got them. Memphis has proven to be one hell of a first round opponent, and just like in the East, you know, they're the Bulls of the East or of the West. really tough opponent. Good job. Now go home.
Going to the next series that has had quite a few overtime periods, Rockets and Blazers, which the Blazers currently lead 3-1. The Rockets looking to do what Hakeem's Rockets did. I'm not sure they will if they'll be able to replicate that feat, but despite it being 3-1, that's been a pretty exciting series, guys, with the overtime. Troy Daniels, or hashtag Trey Daniels, as he's being known. Nice little story there where he just came on the end of Game 3 and into the overtime, played for Chandler Parsons, who fouled out, nailed a bunch of threes, including the game winner. But the Blazers seem to have, after falling off a bit when Aldridge went down, they're finding their form again and on the verge of advancing.
Yeah. And Aldridge's numbers, especially those first two games,
that
was ridiculous.
Joins a very elite company in that one.
Yeah. And even the results from his first three games, he was 140-something points, and I think only two or three other people had done that. I have to try and find that.
Is it Michael Jordan? It was either Jerry West or Oscar Robertson.
I think it was those three. So that was so he's in an elite company with that.
I saw Michael Jordan. Thought, yep, awesome. And then
that's all I needed. That's all I needed to see as well. So, and he had 29 and 10 in game 4. So he's been solid. He's probably one of the first round MVPs. Like if we would break it down like that, I'd definitely give it to him.
Definitely a great performance so far.
And I really, really hope that they close it out.
I kind of, I don't really have a dog in the fight. I mean, I don't like or dislike either team. I kind of want at least to go to Game 7 just because this is such a great series and competitive. I selfishly want 7 games out of it and just either an epic comeback or almost comeback that ends at Game 7. But it's been really, really fun to watch.
That's what I want. I don't care if it's selfish or not. this has been great.
Yeah. It's like I said, it's one of the most exciting first rounds we've had with the unpredictability and everything. East, not so much, but certainly the West, the games. But do you think Houston can pull off the comeback? No. I don't.
I think probably not. They're done and dusted.
Yeah.
Unfortunately.
I think it goes to, go to 6. May go to 6, but I don't know if they can even force a 7. But I wouldn't be opposed to it. I don't think any of us would be. I do want to go. Actually, I'll leave that one for last because it ties into the other discussion topic that everyone's been talking about this week. The Mavericks and the Spurs, the venerable Spurs, currently knotted at 2 games apiece. Of course, Dallas up 2 games to 1 at one point. The Spurs did hold on to tie it in Game 4. Are you surprised at all? I mean, maybe I sold the Mavericks short, but I just thought with the Spurs, they just never seem to age or. Or go down, except in the finals last year, of course. But I thought that would be a 4-1 series with the Spurs advancing, and obviously they could still do it 4-6. But the Mavericks are putting up a good fight.
I'm impressed with VC, man. Mm. Like, whoa. Carter's been, Carter. it's been a while since we've had a good Vince Carter like this.
Vinsane, if you will. boo this man. But, it was you, John, that posted the video in the forum, wasn't it? The comparison to the 2001 Eastern Conference Finals when he missed that shot in the corner?
Mm-hmm.
Was that you posting that?
It was. I didn't make
that,
it.
That was, yeah. But no, I was just trying to remember.
No, it was me, yeah.
That was John, yeah. Yeah, that was kind of cool. I mean, obviously, he doesn't, they call it a redemption, but I think that's pretty much long past history. but even so, it was kind of like, oh, good memory. That was kind of cool to see that. But for what it's worth, he certainly did redeem that shot. Raptors fans can enjoy. That put them up 2-1. It was a big moment in NBA Live 14, as I mentioned, along with Aldridge's performance, of course. Not so great. I think he had 8 points in the game 4 loss. Not so hot in that one. But yeah, I mean, do you think the Mavericks pull off the upset here? We've seen the Spurs as a high seed get upset in the first round before. Of course, does it happen again?
I really hope not. I like Tim Duncan too much, and seeing him get that emotional last year was pretty tough.
Yeah.
So I want Timmy to. Do Timmy.
Timmy!
Yeah.
Timmy!
Timmy!
No, I want to see him do big.
I hope so too. I have nothing against the Mavericks. I was glad when they did get their championship. Sorry, Ben.
That's right.
But they needed their revenge from 2006. There's redemption for
you. Well, I think, you know, 2006, you would have put your house down in some form of bet to think that they were going to win at the stage that they're at before they collapsed and that. So, yeah, no, I mean, I'm not too angry. I mean, Wade's still got 3 championship rings, so I'm happy with that. So, yeah. And on a quest for his 4th, so.
But, I mean, I wouldn't mind seeing a rematch between them this year, so I'm definitely in favour of the Spurs. Nothing against the Mavericks, of course, but I think they will. I think the experience will win out. One thing that could be a concern, of course, is I think Parker's just been... it's got a bit of an ankle sprain, but who's that in the wings? Patty Mills.
Yeah.
So, who also had a big moment in NBA Live 14 this year?
I was waiting for it.
Kind of crazy, yeah. I can't mention anyone on Twitter through the podcast, can I? No. and that brings us, of course, to a series that has perhaps been overshadowed by certain events in recent days.
Perhaps.
Arguably, which we'll get to in a moment, of course, but the Clippers are one game away from eliminating the Warriors, but again, a very competitive series there. I don't think anyone's won 2 straight in that one yet, have they? They've traded off wins.
Yeah.
But the Clippers are up and overcoming some turmoil, which again, we'll get to in a moment. But I mean, I could see it going to 7, and I will pick the Clippers to win it either way, whether it's in 6 or 7. But yeah, Steph Curry. He's
one hell of a shot.
One hell of a shooter, yeah. What can you say? But guys, predictions on that one? Do the Clippers falter?
Clippers
get the job done?
Clippers are empowered and hyped up, and they're going to just wreck them. It's just like the Nets and Raptors, but for the West. I want to see both these teams go far into the playoffs.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's kind of a shame they ran into each other.
This is one of the only series for me where I want both teams in this case. I wanted both of these teams to advance in that. I definitely understand that. So it's a shame.
Just with everything that's happened, I just want to see the Clippers win it all now. Just because the story that it would give the NBA.
Oh, man, what would they do on the DVD? and then tragedy struck before Game 4 when these comments came out. Well, how about this? If one of those teams, obviously someone's got to win, someone's going to lose. But how about, since we can keep them both in the playoffs, we take out a random team in the East, pick at random, say the Wizards. and put one of them in there. How about that? But Clippers, Ben, or Warriors?
The Pacers.
Well, they're out anyway. Right, are they? So,
almost, yep. Sentimentally, with the events, Clippers, but I like the Warriors. So it's tough. I don't know, but I think the sentimentality of what's happened this past week will probably take over, and I think it'd be nice for the players in some form of validation, redemption kind of thing.
Very cathartic, I have to imagine.
You know, say the hypothetical, they win it all, just for them to hold up that trophy and Sterling.
Sterling's
exactly. So just that kind of, I don't want to say final insult, but the final word, I suppose, the last laugh.
We are the Clippers. You are not the Clippers.
Yeah, exactly.
We are the Clippers. We got it done.
Andrew, I've been very cozy underneath this rock. What are you guys referencing? What are you talking about?
Well, I was going to say we've been burying the lead long enough throughout that discussion of that series. But, it's been all over the news lately.
Really?
So, absolutely. Now, you won't believe this, John, but Donald Sterling did something offensive.
Really? I did not see that coming.
What year is it?
That's what a lot of people have been asking. But to quickly recap, just for history's sake, Donald Sterling came out and made, a tape came out from his alleged mistress, girlfriend. He's married, so I guess that is his mistress. But in any event, from a woman that he had a relationship with, having a conversation with her in which he made several very offensive remarks about about black people and not don't want them to come to the games, blah, 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 and also referencing Magic Johnson and why did you have to take a picture, post on Instagram.
It was more referencing associating with them and promoting it, and, promoting it and it, on social media.
And saying many, again, despicable things.
But he was...
You have to associate with
him,
yeah.
He was fine with her sleeping with him if she wanted to.
Apparently yeah. so, and seeing as that she's half African-American herself, apparently he was fine with it as yeah. well, but racists are a weird bunch, but to understate it. But basically, naturally, a lot of people were upset. The players definitely upset, and we'll talk about a little bit at the moment what they considered. But just today, or yesterday rather, the NBA came down quite hard, pretty much the hardest, the hardest sanction that makes all the fines that Stern gave Mark Cuban look like a pocket change. But fined, was it $2.5 million?
Yeah, which is the maximum that was within the constitution and laws and all that stuff for the NBA?
Banned from the team. Can't associate with them, can't come to the games, can't be involved in personnel decisions or anything. Basically, he can sign the checks and that's about it. And with a view to the other owners forcing a vote to make him sell the team, basically. And you know what? I'll just say it. It's about time. You know, this obviously his bigotry has gone on. These are just the latest in a long line of things. Did you guys happen to catch Zar's Sim Hangout where they talked about it this week at all?
I didn't have a chance to listen to it today.
I tweeted out as well. It was quite, quite good. Obviously, you know, they had some fun with it, and you know, but also many great points made by the guys, by the Sim Nation and Zar. And but yeah, it's just they brought up some comments he made, like to Danny Manning during contract negotiations, like, "Oh, that's a lot of money for you," you know, and the color of your skin, and all that kind of thing. All those kinds of things. So it's finally come to a head. This has come out, embarrassed himself, the league, the team, etc. You know, it's the league has basically let this go on for too long, and if this is what's had to, and it's not right that his privacy was invaded, and if he wants to take action against that, that's a whole separate issue that, fair enough, litigate as you will. But yeah, I
see some,
yeah,
well, that's the thing, that I see some people defending free speech and saying that this was wrong and that freedom took a hit and everything, but No, I'm sorry. I just can't feel sorry for Donald Sterling. He's been an ass for so many years, and this finally, what people have been saying is that you're surprised this has happened, all this stuff, and why was it right then and wrong now? I think this is basically a straw that broke the camel's back kind of situation where it's come out and where people are saying, okay, this is still going on, really? Okay, finally, okay. Is there a chance you can do something now? You know, it's a catalyst. It's not like this is necessarily the worst thing he's done. Although it's pretty damn bad. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's not, if this is what it took for the NBA to finally do something and now get it so that the Clippers are not, a hostile work environment, that players actually want to be there. Hey, the stability of the team. If players don't want to play for him and people don't want to work for him, that team's going to collapse, basically. So for the integrity and the league and everything, not just image, but to actually not have a team collapse in itself because of the bigotry of their owner, this has to happen. I'm not shedding any tears. But Ben, your thoughts?
Yeah, I saw a few people sort of, you know, they're questioning how the information came out with the recording. You know, they're thinking girlfriend or mistress or wife or whatever, and that.
Oh, it's not his wife.
Yeah, okay. Opportunic mistress, okay. Apparently, I don't really want to use a source in that, but this is what Fox News had stated that...
I thought you were going to say TMZ, that would have been bad.
Yeah, well, I'd probably find TMZ more reliable than Fox News. at least more accurate.
That's unfortunate.
Yep. Apparently, Sterling has a habit of being forgetful. So he had asked the girlfriend to record as a reminder. So, you know, she could say, look, I mentioned this. And says, oh, I don't remember. You know, it was there as purely as a...
an aid for remembering for things that were mentioned to him, or if he had said something, obviously not in this kind of way, but you know,
just because dictaphones are really expensive, apparently.
Yeah, yeah. And, so yeah, it was purely for those purposes and that, and it he obviously completely forgot about it, and yeah, his true colors were unveiled in that sense, and but yeah, it's sad that you know the idea that people still have these and the whole thing like with this mistress being
mixed
and African American and that, which he insults in both sort of formats. It's like but he's still happy to have an adult relationship. Yeah, an adult relationship. It's like I don't understand it. I was trying to not use dirty words and that. So
relationship's dirty.
No. I was
I know.
Something
I
in
you,
it.
Yeah. You went there.
Yeah, I went there. yeah. So timestamp. So yeah, it kind of boggles mine in that sense. But yeah, I'm glad that the punishment. I do believe they went the right route with it, and I think it. And I do believe it needed to be that intense or that severe. And hopefully it is. Oh well, I think what the TNT guys have also stated that you know they hope that this is a wake up call to other bigots and yeah that you know may not get away with it in the end.
It is like you said. It's amazing that people. And disturbing that people still hold those views in 2014.
Yeah, and in him being Jewish and with the whole incident with wars and all that stuff, like with Germany and the concentration camps. It's weird.
It's strange, but I'm glad that something's happened. Your thoughts, John? I mean, can you see where the people who are objecting are coming from, or is it just a case where there's nothing on the internet people won't defend?
No, the people who are defending him and saying that you know it's wrong that it came out like this and it's wrong that the privacy issues were violated like that are completely valid. That is a completely valid point. This was a private conversation. We should not have heard it. We heard it, and it is true. And we need to remember that whoever leaked this is probably going to pay and probably pay heftily for it. And, you know, you can make the comparison to Snowden, I guess, and just say, yeah, you know, all this crap came out about the NSA. And, you know, now it sounds like, you know, steps are being, you know, taken to fully encrypt the internet and all this other crap. And, you know, but Snowden's still not going to get
listening.
He's not going to get immunity from this. You know, someone's got to pay for the big change. There's always got to be a martyr. So someone is going to pay for this, but I think we all should be eternally thankful that this is finally what happened. And especially during the playoffs like this, you know, you have the most exciting playoffs. I've been telling you guys, and I've been bragging about it. Essentially, I haven't gone to bed before 1 a.m. since the playoffs started because of these freaking games. New rule, no more OT for the last game of the night. Okay. And just because the games have been that damn good, and then to have this, and it's just news story after news story with the NBA. If Silver let this go and just said we're going to handle it after the playoffs or something, you know that it, as a from a business standpoint, there's no way that would have carried water. There's a rumor that the players were going to boycott the games if the punishment towards him wasn't enough.
Yep.
Yeah.
And that would have been. Oh my God, the S storm that would have come from that. That's the best way I can describe it. And then, you know, the silent protest with turning the uniforms inside out that the Heat and the Clippers did, you know, good on them and everything. And of course, the NBA is, you know, capitalizing on this now as they should. And the We Are One campaign with a league that I think Barkley said was 75% black with the fan base, you know, obviously largely black. I mean, it's you can't just let this go from a business standpoint. And it was make or break. And you know, and I'm not even gonna feel bad for Sterling. I am not gonna feel bad for the old racist bastard because I read somewhere he bought the Clippers for $60 million, and the internal bids that for the Clippers are rumored to already be over $1 billion. Oh, boo! It's like freaking Zombieland with the you got the gif of Woody Harrelson or whatever the hell his name is wiping his tears with money.
Yeah.
Oh, poor you. Like and you know it sucks that he's gonna lose his team and everything, but yeah, you're freaking years old and you're gonna be a billionaire. Just let it be.
But, I mean, as far as it being too late, I mean, like I said, my point is that this is the catalyst. Like, this has been going on, and nothing's been happening.
But Stern,
this has been the thing that's
it was under Stern.
Finally forced it. Yeah,
it was
exactly. Yeah,
you can't have Silver come in February and be like, "I am here, Sterling, you're out," and everyone go, "Why?"
Yeah,
I mean, it is the modern era. If it didn't happen 10 seconds ago, what the hell? What were you talking about? There's no way he could have gotten away with that. Probably the owners probably would have ousted him, you know, and I'm sure in that constitution that Stern probably fought tooth and nail to never have be public. that is now public. I'm sure there's somewhere in there about revolting against the commissioner if need be. But this was something that was hugely detrimental to the league if they just let it go.
Yeah.
And from a business standpoint, you cannot have that happen, especially not in these playoffs. This is a turning point for the NBA, I think, just with how great the playoffs are and the draft classes coming in and Silver actually making a judgment on it and being already decisive and effective commissioner like this. I mean, it's going to be weird hearing him cheered at the draft.
Yeah.
I'm not ready for this.
Yeah. But yeah, like I said, I don't buy the whole, you know, I understand where people are coming from, why it didn't happen years ago. And I mean, I guess that's only a question that that David Stern really can answer. But
he had bigger fish to fry. Like, this is nothing to take anything against Stern with. Stern did a fine job just kind of paving it over, making sure it wasn't as big of a story.
Like I say, I think this is the catalyst. This is the straw that broke the camel's back. This is like, okay, he's not changed. He's as racist as ever. He's still a jerk. He's still detrimental to the league. Now it's time to finally take action. This is the ammunition, the opportunity, I think. And they did it, and he was swift and decisive, and it was obviously what's best for business, to throw out a Triple H like that.
I think that it would be really bad, though, with Magic Johnson's... collaboration or whatever ended up owning the Clippers.
A bit on the nose, you think?
A bit. Because then it just stinks to high heaven just of, oh, someone took this out. Oh, Magic was named specifically. Oh, now he owns the team. You know, like I said, boo-hoo for Sterling. He's going to be a billionaire. But...
yeah, that's a good point. It is kind of a little bit...
That's a bit much. I mean, I wouldn't mind it. Well, just, you know, Magic can own a team. That's, you know, that'd be great and everything. And I mean, I'd probably let the sale go through if I had that opportunity to have decision over it. Decisions, really.
Yep.
But that kind of drama compared to the drama of all the race crap, I'd rather have the Magic Johnson drama.
Yeah. Well, if worst comes to worst, Frankie Muniz is also interested.
Oh, my God.
So,
thanks, Malcolm.
Yeah.
And Mayweather, who I think you would formally rename the team to the Los Angeles Strippers instead of Clippers.
Oh.
He loves throwing the money down on those strippers, so it wouldn't surprise him.
Conrad.
Andy Mayweather, that's right, yeah.
Conrad was right on point. Like, right when it wasn't even like minutes after the whole thing went out, Conrad's posted on Twitter, "Hey, Clippers, use these logos."
Yeah.
Perfect time to redesign the team. Go.
What's great is obviously action has been taken, swift and decisive, as we said. Wheels are obviously in motion to improve things, continue to be progressive and show that we're not going to tolerate it as sports fans.
We're not going to tolerate it.
It's been kind of funny to see great to see the solidarity of the Miami Heat also wearing their jerseys inside out, their shooting shirts. Benny the Bull holding up that sign, "My owner loves me even though I'm red. There was the Warriors fans, a a couple of guys, obviously, at the game. The white guy is holding up a sign. I brought a black guy to the game. The black guy's holding up the sign. I'm a black guy at the game. And, you know, it's... And bigotry is such a laughable thing. I mean, it's not funny in how much... how hurtful it can be and everything, but for those of us that know what foolishness it is, that we can just make light of it in a certain, in a, to an extent, and say, you know, what a ridiculous point of view to hold about a fellow human being. I kind of like that stuff. It made me smile, if nothing else.
I will say, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar had a really good article on Time Magazine, or on the online at least, and calling a lot of hypocrisy on the part of the people who wanted to oust Sterling, and it was really good overall. And I think just aside from just mentioning it, you know, aside from the part of, you know, this was Silver's battle and not Stern's battle, at least this time around. And aside from the whole, as to why it wasn't handled before, and you know, you can leave it as a detriment mark on Stern, even though, like I said, I think that Stern had other things to be dealing with other than the, that crap. With all the, I think both of those things happened near lockout seasons.
Yes.
Or at least, you know, I'm not giving Stern a pass on this. Obviously, the situation with the executive pay and the housing stuff, obviously a little sketchy. But you know, if Silver can put that bill under his hat and like really focus on that, and I think that it's still good and it's still okay to be all up in arms about. Something that my wife actually mentioned was, you know, why are people so excitable about, you know, this one thing when there's so many other things that people could be excitable about? And I said, this is one of the things that people can actually change. You know, we can actually have an influence on this. We can actually, you know, and we can get this feeling of we did it, and actually feel like we had a part of it, rather than stuff with politics where it's like, you know, no, you're not a lobbyist. Piss off, you wanker.
But also with regards to politics, because we don't have the money and we don't have the power behind us to really
like Sterling who have the money in politics.
But we can, you know, instead go to just not watch the game.
Yeah, exactly. And you know, let your voice, or in this case, and money talk in this case, and so you can do like that sort of protest without it being violent or disruptive, and that, and but get still get heard and taken seriously enough. So yeah, that's one thing that's getting harder to do these days, is being heard, because you got such powerful forces being able to drown out and misdirect and ignore the little guys in that sense. And so yeah, it's
And I think Ben, John, you're right on point with the it being an early part of Adam Silver's legacy, much the same way that Stern came in with those anti-drug policies and really saved the league in the early to mid-80s, because there was the huge drug problem. The fact he came in and really changed the image of the league and took it to great heights, you know, this can obviously be part of Silver's legacy. And I know it's more than that, because that's the other thing people are saying. Well, it's not just about that. It's, you know, about racism in society, and certainly it is, but...
Well, you see it echoed.
If someone can just get the ball rolling, make an impact, you know,
and
if it makes people sit up and take notice, then, you know.
And we know that Silver still has his rough edges with the advertising and all that, but also his goal is to have globalization, right? You know, he was one of the ones that was pushing to have a Europe team and all that fun. And you know, I think what's nice about it is that it draws parallels to what just happened this past weekend on one of the soccer pitches. Someone threw a banana on the field.
And then the player eats it?
And then he eats it before he hits the corner kick. You know, having that story come out and then having it followed up with this swift action by the NBA, and I know that soccer, I think like only like 3 or 4 months ago, had a manager fired because of racism and all that. So, you know, being able to draw that connection, at least I think, would help the NBA on a global scale a little bit even more.
Yeah, and like I said when we were talking about the Clippers Warriors series, whether the Clippers go on to win it all or not, you know, the fact that they can be united and say, look, he's not the Clippers, whether he's signing the checks or not, we're the team, we're the ones to cheer for and get behind and support each other. That's the main thing. So yeah, and good on the players for all that. But yeah, any other comments, or shall we move on to a couple of other?
I think I had one. Just give me a second if I can try and remember it, because I was going to try and throw it in about 5 minutes ago.
It was about silver or sterling? Or sterling silver.
Damn it. I cannot remember for the life of me now.
Okay.
Oh, well, yes, sorry, I have remembered it. Okay.
Yeah. Go on.
Part of the situation with the past incidents with Sterling, Silver stated that part of the reason why there was no, I don't want to say follow-up or, you know, further investigation is because of what had happened in court, where one of the cases was dismissed and the other was settled. So there wasn't, say, a conviction of any sense in that for them to further investigate upon. But because this was such unrefutable evidence in that sense, that's why they were able to proceed with it, and that's why there is the result that there is, and why there wasn't a result in the previous circumstances in that because of what had happened in court and how those cases had resulted in that they couldn't force the investigation at that stage. So
sure,
it was awesome to hear him being honest about that.
Open about it.
You know, he didn't try and sweep it under the rug or try and, you know, sidestep it and all that stuff. So yeah, I'm glad he was so open and honest about it. And I think that was an important thing for what had happened in beginning to get the next step forward and begin the healing process and getting the league or just the whole reputation back and hopefully those 12 sponsors and that had stepped aside would pull their sponsorship deal,
pull their advertising.
You know, hopefully
some of them are coming back, aren't they? I heard that a couple of them were reconsidering in light of the NBA's ruling.
It wouldn't surprise me. I think that's great. And you know, it was just a reflection of a point. I don't want to say more, but just a ignorance man's views, you know, and not that on the team. The team shouldn't suffer because of someone's stupidity.
Still supporting the team.
Yeah, you know, and so it's going to be a long
brighter days ahead, basically.
Exactly. And the fact that it's great to see. Lakers, former Lakers players and current Lakers players be supportive. The whole town, not just with Kevin Johnson, even as the mayor of Sacramento and that. It was good to see him come together and be such a spokesperson that he was about it. The other teams showed their support. The other teams had posted, obviously, their statements. Like, the team owners had posted their statements during and after on the website.
Absolutely. Everyone came out. It was, you know, the NBA has obviously capitalized on the whole We Are One thing, but it is great to see that solidarity and that everyone's on the same page. But, so if once again, as with any topic we discuss, please let us know what you think in the comments below and in the forum. We do have the NBA talk section, of course, with that thread going on. I'm sure it'll be pretty easy to find. The thread is pretty clearly titled. You can give us your thoughts. But I do want to move along to some more positive things in the NBA before we wrap up. A couple of awards have been handed out so far. One of the first awards was, of course, to Joakim Noah, so the Bulls won't walk away completely empty-handed this season. Noah, Defensive Player of the Year, and I'm admittedly biased, guys, but I felt he earned it. I mean, for a while there, Hibbert was also a front runner with him, but after the last few weeks of the season, I think that was Noah's award to take home.
I'll agree with that.
I agree. Yep.
At most improved player, Goran Dragic of the Phoenix Suns. Again, I thought that was very well earned. The Suns unfortunately didn't get into the playoffs because of the very competitive West this year. But Dragic basically had a really big improvement despite, I think, having pretty much the same minutes per game. I think there's only a couple more minutes per game this season. And usually the most improved player award goes to the guy who's played about 10 minutes per game the year before and suddenly he's a starter. Actually putting up numbers. So Which is fine. I don't hate that theory, but that logic of selecting the awards. But I did think he was a deserving winner, and nice to see the Suns get something. Because he was, I mean, he went from a pretty good player in the rotation, of course, starting for the Suns, to a guy that a lot of people felt was an all-star snub.
I was one of them thinking that.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I can't think of another person that would really fit that award, and that's my issue.
I don't know if I got to sort of pay enough attention around to sort of yeah, think of anyone else.
Gerald Green, his teammate.
I can't think of anyone at the moment that comes to mind. I mean, I have to check stats and all that. I mean, that's just a lot of work. So I'll take their work for it.
NBA Stats Tracker.
Stats Tracker.
Yeah, I was going to throw that in there. So,
yes, NBA Stats Tracker. Your solution to online arguments.
Available in the download section with upload facilities that you should use. The other award that's been handed out, the Sportsmanship Award to Mike Conley and the J. Walter Kennedy Citizenship Award to Luol Deng. I think that's pretty much they're going to rename the Luol Deng Award. He seems to win that a lot for his work. But Coach of the Year, Greg Popovich won it again. Greg Popovich of the Spurs, of course. How could you forget with all the interviews and everything and all the success, of course. I'm okay with that because obviously he is an amazing coach and the Spurs refuse to age and he just continues to do an amazing job. I did feel that Jeff Hornacek deserved the credit for what he did with the Suns. But it's hard to argue against Popovich. I just thought I might have given it to Jeff Hornacek because of that, but...
In comparison.
I mean, he didn't have quite as much to work with. Well, he did have the most improved player. But, I can't really argue against Popovich getting that.
Now former Bobcats coach. You know, considering the season that they had, I mean, yeah, it was all... Was it last year or the year before I'm thinking of where they were just so, so bad?
They've been pretty bad the last few years.
I'm trying to remember if it was like the lockout year or if
seven
it was...
wins. Yeah, it was the lockout year, seven wins.
Yeah, okay.
Ouch.
Yeah, so, I mean, they're... And to get into the seventh seed, wasn't it? Yeah.
They are seventh seed, yeah.
So I think that was definitely a great improvement by them and deserving of some recognition of that for getting such a turnaround in a year or two. Who else?
I mean, you've got the Blazers with Terry Stotts.
Yeah, you know.
Randy Whitman for the Wizards. You know, you'd have a few.
I mean, even Jacob should get some recognition. I mean, for the start they had to the year, to how they sort of turned things around to get into the playoffs where they were... It was a joke between him or the Nets and the Knicks, whether they would make the playoffs or who would get the worst seed or not. So some recognition for those efforts to get to bounce back later in the second half of the season.
Mm-hmm. Not his drink spilling abilities. He's still got to work. Still got to work on that kind of trickery. Yeah. But it'll come.
You'll learn the sneak ways of the sneak. That's all I can think of at the moment with regards to Coach of the Year awards. But yeah, I don't know who's most deserving in that sense.
It's always hard. Do you pick the guy who's led the team to 60 wins, or the guy who's done more with less? Maybe got 45 wins with a team that maybe should have only won 30. I mean,
if they were lucky.
What's the more impressive accomplishment? It's hard. I guess you could make the same argument for other awards as well, but the coaching one is, it's a difficult one to predict and which way the media is going to go, whether they are going to give it to the guy. I think Doc Rivers won it with the Magic when they didn't make the playoffs but actually had a winning record just for the job he'd done. So, I mean, the criteria is even more fluid than the MVP award, I think, at times. I know I said I wanted to talk about positive things to finish the podcast. There is something I did want to bring up because it's quite interesting to me, at least. The Nick Calathes, the rookie point guard of the Memphis Grizzlies, tested positive to a banned substance. Just bringing up the Wikipedia page. Tested positive for tamoxifen. Yes.
Something that's supposed to, like, cover up growth hormones.
Steroid use, yeah, growth hormones, yeah. Basically, obviously, another case of taking a supplement that unfortunately didn't research enough. And they're basically the, who said this? The NBA suspended him for 20 games, and the acting NBA players, NBA Basketball Players Association Director Ron Klempner called it a true injustice and said that the suspension would be appealed and everything. I kind of see that, but at the same time, I think if you're a professional athlete, I mean, the policy is quite clear about what's banned and whatnot and what the penalties are. So I think it's really on you to make sure that any supplements or whatever you take are not going to cause any triggers. I mean, is it a case, you know, am I being too harsh? Are rules are rules, or should there be more leeway here? I mean, I don't think he was doing it deliberately, but carelessness is still, he still broke the rule, I guess. Yeah.
I mean, I don't know too much about the circumstances. I only just sort of heard about when we were sort of discussing the article, so I don't know the backstory too much behind it. So,
well, basically, just took a supplement, and it contained a banned substance.
Okay, yeah, I think just not knowing what was in it, maybe not getting it checked out by team medical staff or anything like that. To see if it's has any potential risk and all that stuff. So I think just not thinking it ahead of that for those kind of situations and that. So hopefully it's something that won't tarnish his career after he's banned and that, and hopefully he can bounce back from it all. And, you know, if it was the innocent mistake that it may have been in that. So, yeah.
Because he came on quite strong during the last weeks of the season.
Well,
possibly might make it onto the. Well, that's a bad choice of words. But but maybe even getting onto the old rookie team, that would be a bit awkward if he's also on the banned list. He's also been suspended for 20 games. But any thoughts on that, John? Or you want to move right on to the next topic?
Oh, I want to move on to the next topic about blacktop mode.
Okay, so there's a blacktop mode player was suspended for 20.
Really? No. Do I get my VC back?
Yeah.
only if you pay like 10,000 VC to get it back. It's like one of those Nigerian scams.
Yeah.
You send us your bank details and a transfer fee of such and such, you'll be able to get your money back or claim this money from.
Oh, it's not a scandal. Yeah. If you give one of your credit cards and one of them is lucky, you win a prize. Leon actually asked if we could talk about bandwagoning teams during the playoffs. That's a fairly lengthy discussion that we could get into. I think maybe next week. We've had a couple of long discussions this week, which were fun, of course, and hopefully everyone's enjoyed listening to them. But that one may go a little long, and we have already gone over 2 hours this week. A lot to cover with not recording last week. But thought I'd finish up with a couple of mailbag questions that came in.
One of these could last a couple of hours too.
Yeah. Well, did you want to hold those off for next week? Or?
Oh no, let's do them. We can touch on them. We can touch on them if we want to expand. We can expand next week.
Sounds good. So, A. Golden asks, "What was our favorite NBA video game mod that we've ever used? Not necessarily in terms of sheer greatness or size, but just the one we've enjoyed the most. What's the fun that we just really enjoyed? Favorite mod? John, do you want to go first?
No, I really don't. Someone else first.
Yeah,
you
got one. All right.
NBA mod for 2006." Okay. That's one of them. That's one I can think of straight away. The Olympic fever modes that we, you know, created in that, those were really cool. The street modes that we used to do, I love that. That was awesome. Like, they were just so much fun, and just having uniforms that weren't really uniforms and more sort of casual gear.
That's 04 for you, right?
03 and 04, man, that was a blast.
Because, of course, we also had the great custom art method where we could actually assign the custom gear to individual players, so you could give them chains and all that. Yeah,
you know, that was in the glory days of patching, man. That was, we had so much freedom in what we could and couldn't do. And then it just became a little bit more restrictive later in NBA life. And then, Yeah, those for me were some of the great ones that I can remember. I think, like...
Have you seen what we've been doing with Blacktop?
Yeah. Have you seen me play the PC version of 2K14?
Well, yeah, that's right. Well, I'm sorry, I just... You're saying this, and I'm like, he knows that I'm doing this with the current game, right? Like...
Yeah, I know, but... From what I interpret of the question, from what I interpret about the question was, you know, favorite modes that we had played, and those were definitely mine.
I'll allow it.
And, I remember Live 03. You know, Jordan could jump from just outside the free throw line and dunk it.
There was a free throw line dunk in the.
You do 2K14 too.
I know.
I do it all the time with my career player.
I do have a couple of Steam keys to give away.
I remember a few of us were capturing, seeing how many more pixels further out we could get Jordan to jump from behind the three throw line to dunk from.
Now you want to talk dedication?
Yeah, exactly. So yeah, it was those things.
All back.
And then yeah, just being able to get the HD textures and stuff like that in Live 06. So those were classic moments for me. So yeah.
Are you ready, John, or do you want
I'm ready, yeah. I said multiple times that I found the NBA Street 07 mod to be the most fun that I've made. In terms of playing, though, you know, I'm not just... It's really improved year by year by year, just like the 2K games where you know, can't really go back. So I'm really going to have to say Blacktop Revitalization 2K14 with... the player-specific gear based on whether they're loyal to their team or not and other factors. And then probably the NCAA mod this year, which was really surprising and good. And then definitely the NBA Jam mod that Big Horror is making right now. It just because it fits the whole exactly how I want to play the game. 2-minute quarters. In, out, done, arcadey. That was fun. On to the next thing, you know. Back to deal with my daughter screaming. I don't know.
Well, I of course, one of my favorite experiences, one of my favorite games in the NBA Live series is NBA Live 06. I had the Bulls Dynasty, which I started with this great roster. I can't remember who made that roster. No. yeah, of course it was mine. I mean, obviously played a lot of stuff with my own current rosters, but I don't want to say that because unlike John's mods, they're not anything special. No. You know, current rosters are what they are. But and it's also uncreative. But I mean, playing the early games with Lutz's, Tim and Lutz's rosters, actually, because it inspired me to get into it in the first place, but also remember playing lots of NBA Live 2000 because I hadn't really gotten into modding that yet, patching that yet, and playing with Lutz's roster, really enjoyed that. But for NBA Live 95, so I'm going to go really old school on this one, guys, there was a roster pack that Lutz put together. In fact, it's still in the download section if you want to break out DOSBox. But it's just got a whole collection. It's got some retro... I mean, this is Ultimate Base roster before there was Ultimate Base roster. There's retro rosters for a few seasons. There was current rosters. Of course, they're not current now. They actually are retro season. But retro season rosters. There were special rosters. There was Olympic rosters. Like, that people had contributed. And there was... one called the Silly Rosters. That basically, like, Lutz had put him and Tim and Brian in the game, and Beavis and Butthead were in there, and they'd changed, they'd hex edited Years Pro to be IQ, so, like, and the Chicago team was Al Bundy in the Married with Children cast.
Oh my God.
Like, had the IQ and stuff, and it was because you can't do it so much these days because as games have got more sophisticated, those kinds of mods, you really need to make the faces for them so that it's, you know, you get away with a lot, basically, when it was just the faces were 2 pixels for the eyes and a little bit of color for the hair. But yeah, and again, all that stuff inspired me to get into patching in the first place. And it was so entertaining when I found that stuff that I really enjoyed playing with that. So I know I should go with something more up-to-date, and there's been such amazing mods that I have enjoyed seeing being made and playing and everything and stuff that I've made myself as well that I've been able to enjoy. But, yeah, that early stuff, holds a lot of great nostalgic value for me. And those silly rosters again. The fact they changed the Years Pro to IQ and all that stuff. It was, yeah, it's just, you know, Lutz is a funny guy. And if you read any of his, in fact, download some of those old patches, just open up the archive and read his comments in the README files because they're hilarious. Yeah, so that would have to be mine. But nice. Our other question is from, what's this? What's his name? Leftos? That sounds familiar.
Yeah, it sounds,
yeah, it's all Greek to me. that's right, I get Shakespeare in here. If you were to join the basketball video games industry, something he has a little bit of experience with, what position would you want to be in and why? And what would you rather work on? Ben, I know you've angled for it, you actually have worked on games before, and if you were to dabble in that again, what would you like to be?
Definitely visual assets. And when in terms of basketball related stuff, uniforms, apparel and clothing and accessory stuff, you know, that's my bread and butter. So yeah, that's where I'd go. Obviously I'd like a chance to try and learn a couple other things in that, but long term wise and where my strengths in that would be would definitely be in the visual assets and stuff like that for the game and hopefully be able to put some import into some of the game mode stuff, like the sort of Micros or Dynasty Association sort of mode stuff. You know, that's where my interests lie most in basketball gaming related stuff. So yeah.
Mm-hmm. Now, John, obviously, this is assuming the 2K is going to be hiring somebody to develop blacktop mode.
I'm going to say blacktop mode. No, I'd really be interested in working on the park. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know, that'd be awesome. I mean, my position, obviously, I'm not the most skilled artistically, as I am taking assets from other games to use for my street courts. and I'm not too great with the programming language, because that's something, unfortunately, I had to make the decision to not learn rather than pursue. So it would have to be a producer kind of, I guess, leadership role, where I'd have to tell people what to do.
Slap the monkeys kinda on the wrist for not programming fast enough. I just see you with those little sort of hand whip things that like jockeys use and that when they slap the horse. Get back to work, monkey.
I mean, I do know enough.
It was the VC of time.
God. But I'd be more of a, I don't want to say, I would definitely do stuff for blacktop mode. I would definitely do stuff for stuff like the park, and that'd be fun, but I don't see myself, there's no job there, you know what I mean? There's no, in an idealized, you know, if I could only just work on blacktop mode, I'd be so happy. You know, that's not where the money is at. I'd probably,
unless it's virtual.
I'd probably just be a generalized producer, and probably like the first thing I'd do to 2K is just implement a bunch of cheat codes. Every uniform sleeved, big head mode, a beach ball for the basketball, and you know, it just fun stuff. Make the game a freaking video game again, and or you know,
Leftos mode.
And this is assuming this is coming from Leftos, so I'll say 2K. But I mean, even for live, you know, just simple fun things that I did that article about is what I'd be a producer, and I just focus on making sure that the game is a video game and it's actually fun. Something that I think both games could, you know, handle not taking themselves as seriously, even though 2K has very witty dialogue in their modes, and Live has I don't know, is there anything really silly about Live?
Well, I'm going back to NBA Live 2003, the courtside comedy cutscenes that I hate so much.
I mean, the current Live 14.
Current Live.
Anything that where it says that this is a video game, you know, don't take this as seriously. So I'm running a mess.
Yeah, I can't think of anything. You'd have to bring the fun, I think.
Yeah.
Bring the noise, bring the fun.
Well, at least Live 10 had, you know, like I said, some kind of fun with that, with the different hangar teams and trying to figure out what their association was with each other, the 03 draft class, 04 draft class, defensive players of the years, and all that fun stuff. So, And you know, what...
well, I mean, I guess that the most humor in Live 14 is Jeff Van Gundy's dialogue.
Oh yeah,
because just like a real broadcast, he'll either like mess around with Mike
or to the goal.
I actually heard that during a real game.
Oh, God, who did it?
I forget. It was someone on ESPN, but it wasn't Michael Jeff. So,
wow.
Apparently it's becoming a thing.
to the goal.
But yeah.
What's wrong with you?
I'm going to have to be predictable as well and talk about my history and strength and I wouldn't mind, working on rosters. I mean, that I guess they make me do legwork. That'd be the kind of thing I'd be doing. But also, again, yeah, certainly, I'd love to be on game modes, especially Dynasty being the mode that I've loved so much over the years. Developing ideas for that, being the guy saying, "Oh no, we need to,"
more fun, this more person, fun.
Well, more fun. This person's averaging 26 points, they should be averaging 28, just like all the nitty gritty things that only the geekiest of the geeky Dynasty geeks that geeked ever geeked me care about, basically. Geek, yeah, I'll just say one more time. That would be the kind of thing I'd like to do, because again, I don't have programming experience, and you certainly don't want me on Faces. Although, I mean, look at the tech. I can probably get players to sit for the cameras. So. with the tech EA's got at the moment.
Have a squeaky toy to get their attention.
over here.
I don't
smile for the camera.
Do you realize how much money I make compared to you? You pee on. that would be the kind of thing that I'd be interested in. To be honest, and we can go into this more into this another time. Sometimes I've wondered whether I want to get into the industry, but at the same time, I don't know if that would ruin my enjoyment of games, because we've talked to Lefto sometimes. I know all of us, when he's had a chance, we've been online, and he works some brutal hours, as everyone does in the industry. And I don't know whether it would just be like, can I really enjoy the games as much when I'm seeing inside them, kind of thing that much?
It's kind of like, can I use the sausage making analogy? You know, once you see how the sausage is made, you're not.
Yep, yes, that, yeah.
That sort of thing.
I want to eat the hamburger. I don't want to see how it's made. whether that would be, and I guess I could never rule it out if the opportunity came up. But I kind of like being on this side of the community, basically, of the industry.
Like a community manager sort of role.
Oh, taking all the crap from fans.
That's true.
As it is, I get emails. All right.
Content manager. Basically, what John Coleman's role is right now with NBA Live.
Maybe something like that. But I was going to say, if as it is, I get emails to ask me to do stuff about the officiating in the playoffs. So I mean, I'm already being blamed for crap I don't do. Have no control over. So.
You've already gotten the blame to fire Joey Crawford.
I could if I could. It's getting late.
That's my first.
Second, no sleeve jerseys.
Yeah. The sort of another thing that I'd like to really sort of do is sort of a forward planning, sort of concept and tech stuff. Like the last few years in that with being in the communications and stuff role with EA and that directly, when I see new tech, I like trying to find other ways it could be implemented and how it could benefit the game, and I write up those pages of information that I've sent to EA and that, saying, look, this is what I like the light stage, from when I was talking about that, when we had like the Tsar, and we were talking like about making the game more seem, how we would like it. So for me, like moments like that, using that tech and saying, okay, this is how it can be beneficial. Time, instead of spending in 100 hours or whatever, how many hours they say it was, like 100 hours in development time, creating faces and all that stuff. This is how to streamline that. And then also Euphoria based stuff, and all these other little things and that, where I'd say, okay, this tech would.
Euphoria is not a little thing.
No. I was meaning to other things that I've also suggested to developers and that stuff. And Euphoria is not a little thing.
Lace.
Yes. So yeah,
just in sort of the forward planning, I think both dev teams should have a small little team, whether it be, you know, whether it be one or two programmers, one or two artist guys, and a guy that can run the ship, where they, if they need to focus on something that they want to implement, but they need more than one development cycle to do it, they have a small team where they can put that focus, and then that way they can they can work on it in the first year in the background, and then hopefully by the second year they can implement it into it. So it's, you know, things like that, just where they know it's going to take more time, and they think it would really be beneficial, and it would really help strengthen the core aspect and get to that goal of where they want to get the game a lot sooner. So if it was in a role like that, I'd love to be in those kind of situations, and yeah, just that's and just the whole concept and development stage and in planning and all that stuff. Like I enjoy that sort of thing, because it brings, and especially in an environment where you have other creatives and ideas people, and you know, you feed on those ideas and the energy and all that stuff, and the motivation that you get if you get all on that same page and what you can think about and plan. You know, it's, you can have some good laugh moments, but then you can also get straight into the whole business of it. And that's the experience that I've joined when working with other people on other game projects and stuff before.
Yeah, it seems like such a fascinating and wonderful industry to be involved in, but I do have my reservations with. There's always a downside of everything, you know, even a dream job, but
I wouldn't,
could never rule it out. But
I would rule it out, and
you would rule it out,
yeah, especially now with kids. You know, it's one of those things where, you know, you get the dad what ifs that I've heard so much about. But even still, how much fun I have doing right now, I've been making basketball courts as one texture courts that I'm going to turn into a friggin' city. And, you know, that's something that, you know, even if I could, you know, hang out with you guys and do the podcast and such, I would be diving into code.
Yeah.
And playtesting is terrible because you just try to break the game.
Yeah.
And I mean, there's no.
Although you thoroughly test out Vlad's.
No, fuck.
Tools.
Ching!
That's a big ching there.
You know what? I've actually changed my mind. I would actually like to be a community manager, and I will not, the only questions I'll answer are those that are addressed to me with a homophobic slur.
Leading in someone's footsteps, I see. But no. It's
a great one.
It's one of those things where it's like, you know, that time. I'm not saying that time came and went. It's just that I'd rather keep it like this. I'd rather have fun with it. I'd rather not.
Yeah.
That my influence would be good enough for any game. I don't think that, oh, this guy really knows Blacktop Mode and knows simple fun and knows how to have fun with games. Well, we can, you know, hire someone from Candy Crush that knows how to monetize that.
Yeah, that'll make it fun.
Well, they'll make it fun and make people want to actually.
Oh, great.
Spend
the
money.
Ball's a piece of candy now.
But I mean, it's not nothing worth my effort. I'd rather put time and effort elsewhere. Yeah,
fair enough. But it's always it's fun to think about, like winning the lottery.
Oh yeah,
make plans.
I'd make my own game without doubt. RPG basketball, Final Fantasy 8 style.
Actually, well,
Top Saga
RPG Maker XP, and there is a basketball tile set template for it. So yeah.
Cool.
Well, none of us are getting any sleep tonight as we stay up to brainstorm this. But
I'm making the city suckers. I ain't doing that crap.
Fine, I'll make the map. You can the programming in.
I gave the idea. Go craft the whip, monkey.
I'm gonna be in the busy I'm gonna be in the busy process making iOS games in the next few months. So yeah. Well, in the next 6 months or so, yeah, and after doing some web stuff at the moment, so yeah.
You will hear more about that, of course. But in any case, it has come time to wrap the podcast. Lots of fun, guys, getting on here with you again. We did have to take a break last week, of course, back to be back in our digital broadcasting duties this week. Of course, want to do the usual plugs. Follow us on Twitter at the NLSC. Like us on Facebook, facebook.com/the NLSC. The NLSC, of course, is NBA-live.com. Check out the forum, of course. Check out all the great features. Once again, get those NBA Live 15 wishlist submissions in ASAP, as well as the NBA Live 14 roster feedback. And, of course, talk about the games, talk about the NBA, follow along with the playoffs. you know what to do. Just join us for more basketball video gaming fun. But we are back. We should, barring any unforeseen circumstances, we will be back coming at you on a weekly basis again.
It's your birthday again?
Thank you for... I know you only have one of those a year. Women are mysterious creatures, but no. but that will do it for this week. Thank you, Ben.
No worries. Always a joy.
And thank you, John.
Thank you, boys. Let's go. Share some stuff with the PS4.
Yes. Yes, I'm itching to get back onto it.
And join us again next week for episode number 77. Catch you later.
See ya.
See ya.